93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today's Wednesday. It's April 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police shot and killed a suspect that was lunging at people with a long knife at a South Los Angeles shopping mall Tuesday evening, authorities said. Fox News reported that footage from the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza, about 7.5 miles southwest of downtown Los Angeles, indicates at least 4 shots were fired. The mall was in lockdown for several hours after police responded to the scene. Witnesses told the station that the suspect had been threatening shoppers with a knife, and one witness said the suspect did not comply to the officer's repeated request to drop the weapon. Officers first responded to the scene about 5:40. Police fired at the suspect shortly after arriving on the scene. Another witness said the suspect was trying to run away when he was shot. An employee at the mall said she heard 7 shots, which created a panic as patrons and employees ran for cover. The knife was recovered at the scene. The name of the suspect and further details were not immediately available. The Facebook CEO formally apologized to Congress on Tuesday for mistakes that led to the Cambridge Analytica scandal and stressed that his company is rethinking its responsibility to users and society. It's clear now that we didn't do enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. That goes for fake news, foreign interference in elections and hate speech, as well as developers and data privacy, 33-year-old Zuckerberg said in an opening remark before a joint hearing of the Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committees.
Did you watch any of the testimony?
I
watched a lot of it. It was clear that the lightning's out of the bottle. You know, he's trying to describe how they're going to take care of it, but even he doesn't know how they're going to take care of it.
Yeah.
It's so huge,
yeah.
It's so worldwide and global in its scope that even you saw him having trouble with. Well, actually, I don't know how we'll do that.
Yeah.
We're going to try. We're going to try. We're going to try.
And I heard that they were, you know, all of them were kind of trying to just take him down, but that didn't really happen either.
Right. No, he was certainly prepped. He has enough money to have a lot of people who are there to prep him. But I mean, it's huge. It's a huge thing to get your arms around. But it was wild to watch it.
And he's like 33 years old. Like, he's standing
there,
up there. He kind of looks like a little kid.
He looked like a kid on his first job interview.
Yeah, he did.
He has no idea how to brush his hair. Yeah.
I got a car.
Somebody tied his tie for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They said he took, like, normally, you know, obviously wearing casual clothes. And obviously.
Normally wears a hoodie.
You have expected him to take out one of those, you know, with the hankies in the bag, you know, the little dispenser.
We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility. And that was a big mistake, he continued. It was a big mistake, and I'm sorry. I started Facebook, I run it, and I'm responsible for what happens here. During the 5-hour hearing, he fielded questions on Facebook's data collection practices, the company's alleged monopoly power, and his views on regulating internet companies. But with 44 senators asking questions, an unusually high number, and just 5 minutes of time allotted for each, there was limited potential for follow-up questions and grilling of the CEO. In this clip that we have, Zuckerberg is questioned by Senator Dick Durbin.
Mr. Zuckerberg, would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night?
No.
If you've messaged anybody this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged?
Senator, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here.
I think that might be what this is all about.
I only tune in for about a half hour, and it happened to be during
that point.
Right? Like, okay, good. I caught a good one. That was cool.
But you may have missed it, but Zuckerberg got really upset and responded, Preston.
You're in that helicopter, and you're nothing but a chameleon, lemon-headed, coward, terrorist. And I'm after you, buddy.
Yeah. Wow. Off the rails. Yeah.
The most memorable line of the afternoon came from Senator John Kennedy, who slammed Facebook for its complicated terms of service agreement. Your user agreement sucks, said Kennedy, a Republican representing Louisiana. It's not to inform your users about their rights. I'm going to suggest that you go back home and rewrite it. Zuckerberg did stumble in answering a couple of questions, including how Facebook staff came to the decision not to notify users of the data issue when it first came to light in 2015. On a whole, however, investors appeared to like his performance. Facebook stock ended the day up 4.5%. It was standing room only Tuesday evening at the Abington School Board meeting. Some members of the audience were criticizing the board's vote during a
You're
March
in that
meeting.
Helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. to rename the high school after billionaire Steve Schwarzman.
Oh, yeah.
Arguing the board was not transparent enough. Schwarzman recently gifted the district $25 million. School board president Ray McGarry opened the meeting with an apology. That was a misjudgment on my part, he said. It was certainly not an attempt to hide anything, but it was clearly a misjudgment, clearly a mistake.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Schwarzman himself didn't request that there was a name change.
I don't think so.
Just donated the money.
They should have made it the Thornton Mellon School of Business.
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
Not sure if you understand the amounts that we're talking about.
Oh, I go to Mellon?
Yeah.
At the meeting, the board unveiled new plans for a massive renovation that the superintendent said is beyond a district and taxpayers' reach without the endowment. In the plans, the new science and technology wing would carry the billionaire's name. So they're saying that that's
suitable.
That's
you can name a football field, a gymnasium, something like that, but not the school.
Right. $1 million takes a solid base plan to a terrific, extensive plan for taking a building from 1956 and making it a state-of-the-art building, said Superintendent Amy Sickle. Some argue a public school should not be named after a major donor, but at the meeting, there was also support for the multi-million-dollar gift.
I don't know. I mean, what's a big deal of changing a name of a school? It happens from time to time.
I know, but you open the doors for, I go to Lincoln Financial High School now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but if Lincoln Financial drops $50 million to really make a state-of-the-art facility, then isn't it the important part that the kids have a great place to learn?
How often are school names changed? High school names. I know it happens in colleges from time to time.
Not that often. Rarely, I would imagine. Yeah.
The naming of a school is usually in honor of, you know, and that's usually what it's predicated on.
Yeah.
It's usually not up for sale. Right. To your point, if a company puts up a tremendous amount of money and makes it a state of the art facility, okay, if they were, but I think you also need to let the parents and everybody have a say in it, and so in this case, talking about transparency, it looked like it was just going to get railroaded through without anybody having the ability to pass judgment.
I think they kind of just made the decision, it wasn't really open for discussion.
Sure, yeah, which just seemed weird.
Yeah, you may want to test the water.
Right.
You know? Which is what he apologized for and basically said, that's not, we're all going to talk about it.
Yeah, he took full ownership. Yeah.
Some also criticized the foundation created to oversee the donation. The school board said the foundation was created for tax purposes. A vote on the new plans will come at the next school board meeting.
I think people are also sick of naming rights, every stadium, and it's all a corporate name. And so, the last bastion of that would be a school, would be separate from, some advertiser.
Because you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, ticket prices still go up. You know what I mean? That's great that the Eagles stadium is sponsored in Lincoln Financial Field, but my ticket prices still went up. So what is it doing for me?
Nothing.
Wait a second. I think I know the.
Thank you.
You're in that helicopter, and you're nothing.
In sports this morning. Yeah.
Ball sacks are yummy.
I don't know. Who was
Brady.
That?
Tom Brady. Okay. J.J. Redick scored 28 points, and the Sixers set a franchise record with their 15th straight win, holding off the Hawks.
That's amazing.
121-113 last night in
Edmonton.
With the win, the Sixers move one step closer to locking up the number 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. Ben Simmons, who missed the morning shoot-around after coming down with a stomach flu, still managed to put up 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. Just 2 years after going 10-72, the Sixers can lock up the East 3rd seed with a home win over Milwaukee in the regular season finale. Tip-off tonight is at 8 o'clock. The Phillies also won. Aaron Nola pitched 8 strong innings, and Scott Kingery hit a grand slam, leading the Phillies to a 6-1 win over the Cincinnati. Last night at the ballpark, Nola gave up 3 hits while striking out 6 and walking 3 as the Phils won for the 4th time in 5 games to improve to 5-5 on the season. Nick Pivetta starts in the finale of the 3-game series tonight at 7:05. The Flyers are set to begin their playoff run with Game 1 in Pittsburgh tonight against Sidney Crosby and the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion Penguins. The last time these two teams faced each other in the playoffs in 2012, the Flyers won after 6 games, 56 goals, and 309 penalty minutes. Game time tonight is at 7 o'clock and will be broadcast right here on WMMR. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. Yay! And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Bunch Cav. So let's get ourselves set for a morning together. We have a lot of things going on. We're going to have some guests stomping by this morning. In fact, we're going to have some Olympians coming by. It's the following athletes will be here: Jesse Diggings, Hillary Knight, and Jamie Anderson. And they are in conjunction with our friends at Comcast. It's an official partner of the United States Olympic Committee. And the Team Comcast athletes are in Philly for the day. They're doing a variety of events. They're going to be at meet and greets. And they're going to stop by an elementary school. And they're swinging by here.
Very cool. So
that's cool.
What are they stopping by? Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A Elementary School.
What's that now?
Are they stopping by Chick-fil-A Elementary? Or?
Oh, I don't know. We can only hope so. And then also, we'll go live on Fox Good Day. We have World Be Free stopping by. They're unveiling the full playoff brand campaign tonight for its fan appreciation night as the Sixers close out the regular season. And that'll be at home against the Bucks. We'll also have actor Ike Barinholtz on the program. Blockers is in theaters now. So he'll be checking in with us. And we have $1,000 to give away. It is MMR's birthday buck, so we'll get to that around 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Your word, your number, your money, hopefully. So we'll find out later on who's going to win. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll do the stupid question and entertainment report when we return. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to ask a stupid question this morning. Going to give away Ready Player One, the book, the audiobook, and a pair of Fandango Run of Engagement passes. If you get this correct, how many states in the U.S. grow potatoes?
Mm.
Out of the 50 states, how many states grow potatoes in the United States? 215-263-WMMR. Do you know the answer? Go ahead and give us a call. Let's try this out. Birthdays today on Wednesday, April 11th include Trisha Helfer, Battlestar Galactica. She was number 6.
She's super sexy in that series. She's a Cylon, and she's there in the mind of one of the guys. She's always there. It's a very complex way that she's presented, but she's a great character.
She was also on Burn Notice, and
yes.
She is 44 today. Peter Reigert played Boone in Animal House.
Forever locked in our minds at that age.
Yeah. But he's done some other things. He was in The Sopranos.
He's in a great movie called Local Hero.
I never saw that.
Yeah, with Burt Lancaster. It's a very gentle sort of comedy about a town in Ireland.
Okay.
Wait, who was he dating, Steve? Was it when they were filming Animal House in one of those documentaries? Because he was like kind of high profile. He was in one of the only ones. It was Barbara Streisand or somebody like.
He had somebody. It was a heavy hitter he was dating. I forget. I don't know if it's Barbara Streisand. Might have been.
Huh. So he is celebrating his 71st birthday today. Then you have Joel Grey, who is the father of Jennifer Grey, who's in Cabaret. Other things that end in A.
Everything that's A. But one thing that didn't end in A is Remo Williams.
Okay.
Remember, he played the old mystic who teaches him martial arts and all that stuff?
Yeah. That's kind of a guilty pleasure of yours, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Joel Grey is 86 today. Vincent Gallo, who was in the Brown Bunny. Is he the guy who got the...
He got the Hummer on screen. It was a mainstream film that had a full graphic BJ delivered by...
What was her name? Because she was in that Big Love...
Chloe Sevigny.
That's it.
Yep.
Almost ruined her career.
Yeah, there was a big... No pun intended, there was big blowback on that.
They were, at that time, dating.
They were. Yeah. But it was a graphic... Hummer is the technical term.
I mean, all the way to the end.
All the way to the end.
Mm-hmm. Buffalo 66, he was also in that. He is 57 today. And then the last birthday I saw is a very beautiful Jennifer Esposito.
Oh, yeah.
Who Nick was just saying was Bradley Cooper's first wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think only for a year or two.
Okay. Well, in fact, he's the only one she's the only one that's he's been married to, right? Or has he been married more than once?
Did he get married to the current one?
No.
Okay.
His
only wife.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was the first one. She's also in that crappy movie Taxi with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah.
Never saw it.
She was on Spin City and Judging Amy, and she is 45 today. So those are your kind of weak birthdays today.
They stink.
Yeah,
that's my niece's Rachel's birthday.
Oh, Rachel.
There you
go.
Let's celebrate.
Sunshine.
Rachel. Rachel.
All right, we're going to see if we get an answer to this. How many states in the U.S. grow potatoes? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Dan. See if we can get the answer. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
1, 2, Bartle, do.
Yeah,
exactly.
24, crap, mon stank. What's up, Dan? What do you know the answer? How many states in the U.S. grow potatoes?
I believe it's 30 states.
No, that's incorrect.
Let
me go next to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Sarah. So how many states in the U.S. grow potatoes?
So what did he say, 30?
Yes.
That's what I thought it was. I don't know.
You're going to have to pick another
32.
Number.
32. Sounds like a good number, Preston.
Well, that's incorrect, as the buzzer says. Let me go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Joe, how many states in the U.S.?
Oh, crap. They said 30.
Joe, I love you.
What's your answer, Joe?
40.
No.
40. We can keep going through numbers.
Sure. Let me go to Nathan. Yeah. Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good. Nathan, how many states, I need a number, in the U.S. Grow potatoes?
I want to say 30.
Wow. We've got a couple of 30s here, Preston. Are you...
Let me go to Natalie. Hey, Natalie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Natalie. You say 30, I'm going to kill you.
No. Is it all 50?
It is.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
50 states. Grow potatoes. That is absolutely correct. Natalie, hang on. And we are going to get you... let's see here. Ready Player One book, Ready Player One audiobook, and a pair of Fandango Run of Engagement passes to see Ready Player One. It's in theaters now. Now, Nick pulled up a post. This is why people were saying 30 says, potatoes remain the top vegetable crop in the United States. They are grown commercially in 30 states, but Idaho grows more potatoes than any other state, followed by Washington, Wisconsin, Colorado, North Dakota, the leading producers of potatoes. I didn't say commercially. I just said, where are they grown?
It's like how many dead people are in that cemetery. They're right. All dead.
They're all dead. Exactly. All right, so, and my source was Mental Floss, by the way, so there you go. That's what I have for you in the stupid question. Now I have entertainment for you, and boy, do we have a doozy to begin with. Former Silicon Valley star T.J. Miller, you may have seen this, was arrested late Monday night at LaGuardia Airport for providing false information to federal agents.
Yeah.
And he's in real trouble.
He is.
He reportedly called in a false bomb threat from an Amtrak train. He was charged with intentionally conveying false information about an explosive device on a train en route to New York from Washington, D.C. The 36-year-old was escorted out of the airport by authorities, according to video obtained by TMZ, and reportedly transported to a New Haven federal courthouse. He was released Tuesday morning after posting the $100,000 bail.
Is there any chance he thought there was something?
Here's okay. You have the specifics. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what it looks like happened.
Right.
He was drunk.
Yeah.
He got into it with some chick I don't know what.
Got it.
She pissed him off. He decided to call in a bomb threat on her.
Got it.
To try to really ruin her day, and he was drunk when he did
it.
You know, so he did something really stupid, like a next level stupid, and now he's going to get in trouble.
And they weren't even on the same train.
No.
I mean, like...
So how did that happen then? How? Well, that's my question. How would she have pissed him off on a completely other...
He got kicked off of a train. Assuming he got onto another train. So let me play it
please.
Out.
Yeah, please.
I'll lay it out for y'all to play it out. The 36-year-old was escorted out of the airport, like I said. Miller had allegedly called 911 on March 18th, reporting that a fellow Amtrak passenger had a bomb in her bag. When the dispatcher detected slurring in Miller's voice, he claimed that he had consumed one glass of red wine that day. When asked if he suffered from mental illness, he said, "No, absolutely not. This is the first time I've ever made a call like this before. I'm worried for everyone on the train. Someone has to check that lady out. Investigators reportedly stopped and searched the train in Connecticut, but found no evidence of a threat. When authorities interviewed a train attendant, the attendant reported that Miller had appeared drunk when he boarded the train, had consumed several drinks on board, and then had to be removed from the train in New York due to his intoxication. The attendant also noted that Miller had been involved with hostile exchanges with the woman that he claimed had had.
There you go. Okay. So then, yes, your story completely has credibility then, Preston, because it's one of those cases where you hear all the time, like, a couple gets into a fight and the woman will put, a pistol in the guy's luggage.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't know her, and he was just, you know, I'm going to get that bitch back. Yeah. I got thrown off of the train. You kidding me? So he called this in.
You can't do that, though.
So Miller faces the charge carries a maximum 5-year term of imprisonment. The FBI is investigating, along with the Connecticut State Police, Amtrak, and the MTA. It's been a rough year for him. He was recently ousted from Silicon Valley, reportedly after appearing intoxicated on set. A woman he attended college with also claimed that he repeatedly physically and sexually assaulted her when they were students together, and he denies that claim.
And he's scheduled to be on the show Friday.
He was planning on coming by here Friday morning to be in our studio.
And so we'll just talk about it then.
Well, listen. As of now, it hasn't been canceled.
Right.
We have not heard from his people that says that he's not going to be here because he's got a gig this weekend, right, Case?
So I doubt he's going to be on our show.
I doubt it, too.
He's doing helium dates, and that is still on the calendar. So,
listen,
he's got to pay for that bail.
And there's no way he's going to come on the show, and we're going to, totally bypass the bomb story. He's great on the show. We love him.
Are you kidding me? It was
hilarious.
It was a fantastic interview. He's very, very funny. He's very candid.
Yeah.
He's a very, kind of abrasive guy, but affable. But, I think he's got a problem with the booze.
Discussing the bomb.
He's definitely a hard partier. No question about that. So I think he did something really, really dumb, and it's very illegal, and he's going to get in a lot of trouble because he's messing with the feds now, man. So we'll see how that plays out. Tristan Thompson has allegedly been caught cheating on girlfriend and mom-to-be Khloe Kardashian.
I would say not allegedly. Looking at the video footage, he's making out with this woman. There are two women in this video, and he's making out with one of them.
Where?
Was it New York?
It was at a D.C. club.
D.C.
The footage is reportedly from October of last year when Khloe was 3 months pregnant. Meanwhile, according to the Shade Room, additional footage has surfaced of Tristan and the girl arriving back to the NBA player's team hotel around 8:30 p.m. on April 7th.
Yes.
When Tristan arrived, he was wearing a different outfit. And when they left the hotel, Thompson had on a change of clothes. Apparently, they hopped into the same SUV that they had gotten out of and headed to Soho House in New York City's Meatpacking District around 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
They returned to the hotel together once again. The next day, the woman was seen leaving the hotel in the same outfit she was wearing the night before. She was also seen with an overnight bag. Photos also surfaced of Tristan on a dinner date with the woman. So he's like, I would call that gallivanting.
Gallivanting, Steve. Brazenly, I'd say, Preston. Mm-hmm. Kathy, look at the footage up here.
Yep.
Look at this. Does this look...
And by the way, this is very clear.
It's completely clear. They're grabbing his junk. They're making out.
Yeah.
There's no way they were talking. It's not the book club. Let's put it that way. They weren't discussing Ready Player One, Preston.
Yeah.
Wow. And all of them.
The NBA's pretty awesome.
And there's Khloe, 3 months pregnant at this point. And there's shots of her. You got to feel bad, but also you have to say, what did you expect?
Seriously.
It has got to be a rare thing, a true to the relationship guy, a professional NBA player. Because women, if they're in and around anywhere, at a bar, women just throw
themselves. They do. There's three hot women. One's grabbing his junk. The other one's making out with him. And the other one's vying to grab his junk.
Who was that, Casey? Who's that really tall guy that played for the Sixers but never played a game? We signed him as a free agent, and he was a total bust. He came to town for a year. You remember who I'm talking about?
Bald.
He was a center.
He was tall.
He came from the Lakers.
He was tall basketball player.
Al, not Al.
No, no, no. Matt.
You're not, no, Matt Geiger not played Matt Geiger. A lot.
He, no, no, no.
Was,
this
he
guy,
was a star.
This guy never played a game. He was. Oh. I'll think of it, or Casey will think of it. Anyway, the point of this story was that I saw him. He never played a game for the 76ers. He was at Xfinity Live one night, and I saw him being accosted.
Andrew Bynum.
Andrew Bynum. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Just surrounded by women. They were just throwing themselves at him, and at the end of the night, he walked out with three.
There you go.
You know?
Well, yeah. Tristan didn't walk out. He just stayed in the club and had them grab his balls.
So reports are claiming that the woman is Lonnie Blair, a popular bartender from New York City.
Name is Lonnie.
Amber Rose, who has exchanged words with Chloe in the past, and Tristan's ex-girlfriend and baby mama Jordan Craig have both appeared to address the situation. Rose wrote on her Instagram stories, "I know we've had our differences in the past, but my heart is broken for you, sis. Shaking my head. SMH. No one deserves to feel that pain, especially during such a sensitive time."
What does SMH stand for?
Shaking my head.
Shaking my head.
Shaking my head.
"God bless you and your baby," she wrote.
Meanwhile, it does suck.
Meanwhile, Jordan wrote on Snapchat, "If you respect yourself and you respect others, you would never make light of this of the misfortune of anyone, nor would you feel indemnified."
I'm sure
she
wrote
had to
look that
yeah,
one
yeah,
up.
I'm sure she did.
"When it comes at the expense of others, wishing peace for everyone." That was Jordan Craig, who is the baby mama to Tristan.
Tristan.
Tristan Thompson.
So, I can't believe you would do this to me. I was 3 months pregnant.
I mean, that's just because there's so many shots since then of those two, Tristan and Chloe, embracing and kissing and looking forward to the birth of the baby. But, I mean, again, she goes for... Lamar Odom was the last player who he almost OD'd on horny goat weed and coke in a brothel.
If you are that high profile and you're dating in the most high profile family in the country, I mean, it would have to be, Steve, like something out of the Cold War spy for you movies to go get laid, where you have to meet at this place and change clothes and four vehicles leave in the same. They're going to find out no matter what.
You're absolutely
you're being
right.
Constantly watched.
There's a great movie called A Guide for the Married Man where this guy gets involved with this high profile actress and the story's being told. So they're going to have a rendezvous, a liaison. And they do that, Preston. The car is going in different directions, different
flashing
ocean lines,
helicopters,
rowing across a lake and the whole thing. And it's up in the mountains. And he comes running into the room and embraces her. And just at the point where they're about to kiss, the door kicks open and they're photographers.
Yeah.
Like in a nanosecond.
If you're getting into a relationship with a family of that, their profile, dude, your liaisons are done, man.
But what a disgusting slap in the face.
Yeah. I mean, she's a real catch, too. She apparently, of all the Kardashians, she's the nicest. You know, she's good looking. She's not, she's my least favorite of all of them, but as far as looks are concerned. But, and I don't know. If you want to meet a good guy, here's some sage.
Let's get away from the NBA.
Here's some sage advice. I believe this is the right clip.
Well, that's where you messed up, son. You can't go to no bar to find a nice woman. You got to go to a nice place, a quiet place like a library. If a good woman is there. And at church, it's good girls. Or this place here, where I'm going tonight, the Black Awareness Rally, there's going to be some fine women there. Good, clean girls. That's where I'm going.
All right, so we'll follow and we will report. This is a nice story, actually.
We need one after that horrific story.
Seth Meyers and his wife, Alexi Ash, didn't make it to the hospital Sunday after she went into labor. Instead, the baby was welcomed in the lobby of their apartment building. Their son, Axel Strahl, was apparently in a big hurry. He said, "We got in the lobby of our building. I've called an Uber. The Uber is outside, and we basically get to the steps of our building, walking out the steps, and my wife says, 'I can't get in the car. I'm going to have the baby right now.'"
She like detonated.
To rein in the chaos and keep Ash calm, Myers and his mother-in-law, Joan, and their midwife huddled in a semicircle around her. He said she laid down in the lobby. We undressed her, and the baby was just out. The head of the baby
was
out. And he said, "And this
how you doing?"
He said, "This is how fast it happened. I called 911, and over the course of a minute conversation, I basically said, 'We're about to have a baby. We're having a baby. We had a baby.'" And I went from someone calling about an emergency to just sharing good news with a stranger.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And did I hear correctly that this is sort of how she gave birth to her first child, too?
You know what? I don't know.
I would think that she gave birth in an Uber to her first child.
The first go-around.
I think so. Let me see if I can find it.
How many babies does she have?
They have. That's her second one.
Okay.
I think this is only the second time she's given birth. As Ash cradled Axel to her chest, the fire department and NYPD pulled up. He said the amount of people that were in the lobby was insane. And he shared a photo of the cops helping his wife. Neighbors even pitched in, bringing blankets and warm towels down from their apartments for Ash and Axel. Myers and Ash welcomed older son Ash Olson in March of 2016. And he said that he thanked everyone involved except, he said, F the Uber driver who charged me. But later that day, it was revealed that the charge was reversed and he got his money back from that.
Man. Yeah. So it sounds like she pops quickly.
Yeah. She may be prone to it. Listen, we knew a guy who had to deliver two of his own children because his wife just
went.
There was a quick delivery.
Yeah.
Two times.
Well, Rachel Benari, she delivered her twins just boom, boom. Was like holding, you know, and yes. Like standing up. Like
what, nobody was around?
No, she delivered them herself.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Okay, so she nearly gave birth to her first son in an Uber. So it didn't actually happen. But she must, obviously, just has quick labors.
I wonder who was left with mopping that up.
Yeah, well, probably Schneider.
Schneider, yeah. What the hell happened here?
Anna Faris still loves Chris Pratt nearly a year after announcing their split. The 41-year-old graces the makeover of Women's Health, and inside, she gets real about their evolving relationship.
No, she hasn't been real up to now?
She also talks about her breast implants. Regarding Pratt, she said everything they do is motivated by their 5-year-old son. What Chris and I try to do is communicate openly. We reiterate that there aren't rules to this. We have a lot of love and friendship, and our big goal is to protect Jack.
On their journey.
Moving forward, she tells Women's Health that she hopes to find love again. She said, I love love. Like all of us, I need a sense of human connection and intimacy. She said, at the end of the workday, I feel exposed and kind of raw. I want to be with someone I can confess to and who can confess to me.
I like her a lot, but something tells me she might be a little high maintenance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think she's admitted as much.
She also cops to getting plastic surgery during a major life change. She said, I was always a negative A cup, so when I was 30, I was getting a divorce. She was married to Ben Indra for 4 years. I just finished House Bunny, and I'd sold another movie. All of these things were happening to me, so I got my breast done. I said it was effing awesome. I never, ever thought that I would do something like that. I always thought plastic surgery was caving into the man, you know. But it came down to a really simple thing. I wanted to fill out a bikini. What would that feel like? And I'm still floored that I did it because I'm a staunch feminist. She adds that plastic surgery, if done for the right reasons, can be empowering. Said, I kept thinking, am I betraying my own gender by doing this? I wish that we were more supportive of each other. And I think that people should be able to do whatever they want, whether it's getting braces, bleaching their hair, getting extensions, getting a boob job, getting vaginal surgery, or getting a nose job.
You know what? I'm going to get that penile implant.
You should. Faris can be seen in Overboard, which is coming out on May 4th. See if that movie does well for her. Marissa wanted me to mention this. Empire Records, the musical, is targeted for a possible 2020 Broadway ballot.
Oh, my God. She's ecstatic. That's her favorite movie.
She loves that movie. So she sent me the information. And
it's a guilty pleasure of mine as well.
It will be by producer Bill Wiener, who will work, or it's Weiner, I don't know.
Probably Wiener.
Who will work with the film's original writer, Carol Heikkinen. With new music and lyrics by Zoe Sarnak. So you'd be all over this, right, Marissa?
Oh, my God, yeah. And it was a very music-heavy...
Wiener.
Go ahead.
It was a very music-heavy movie.
Yes.
Besides just, like, music playing in the background. Like, there's a lot of singing and dancing and headbanging and...
You know, like there always is at the record store. Exactly. Or when there were record stores.
Acid trippies.
Yes.
A 2020 premiere is being targeted to coincide with the film's 25th anniversary. So we'll see if that comes together. 95-year-old comic legend Stan Lee appears to be surrounded by people who have turned against each other. His wife, Joan, died a year ago, and ever since, conflicting reports have been emerging about his health and well-being.
This sucks because they're preying on him right and left, and he's, I don't know if he's of a sufficient sound mind to handle it all.
Well, here's the deal. When you get to be that age, the people that you have grown up with and trust, are a lot of them are gone.
Yeah.
And you start to lose the people that you can really rely on in life.
And you get targeted.
And unfortunately, there are people that will lie to you and comfort you and tell you that they have your best interest in mind when they really don't. And you're really kind of, you're just hanging there. You can't care for yourself. And it's really sad that happens on occasion.
You should come here. Give us power of attorney. We'll take care of him.
What I don't know is, I don't know the story of his, did he have any kids? Is there anybody close family-wise to take care of him? Because I never hear about that.
No, his long-term wife, passed away recently.
Yeah, a year ago.
Right.
But I don't know about kids.
I don't know about kids.
The Hollywood Reporter compiled the reports from a variety of sources about several members of his inner circle, including his 67-year-old daughter. There you go, JC.
I have two kids. There's the 67-year-old and the 58-year-old.
Memorabilia dealer Kaya Morgan and former publicist Jerry Olivares and road manager and Stanley Museum proprietor Max Anderson. Several pieces of alleged evidence point to a battle for control of his money and possible elder abuse.
Oh, this is going to get messy.
I mean, it's a real shame here. I mean, if you could just find somebody to take care of him who doesn't care about his money. I saw this story tweeted out by, Kevin Smith. I'm like, that guy would take care of Stanley.
Yeah, he would.
Kevin Smith would.
The problem is power of attorney.
Yes.
Who is able to say that these people are going to care for you? You know what I mean? Because at some point, you can lose that.
He seems to be, health-wise, he's doing fine. At 95, yeah.
The key takeaway from the piece is that no one appears to have Lee's best interest in mind, which is really sad. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have decided to nix the Obamas and all other politicians from their wedding guest list.
Probably a good idea.
It has been decided. It is an official press release, I believe, from the from Kensington Palace, or at least a spokesman said. It has been decided that an official list of political leaders, both UK and international, is not required for Prince Harry and Ms. Markle's wedding. Her Majesty's government was consulted on this decision, which was taken by the royal household. And while Harry and Meghan have become close with the Obamas, the guest list is being reserved for longstanding friends, the palace explained.
This way there's no hurt feelings if you don't invite, somebody, a leader of some country. And
yeah.
They get pissed off. It's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah. You know what? Watching the show The Queen, which goes into detail of who you invite and who you say what to, used to be it's somewhat a big deal.
Yes.
But it used to be a really big deal.
It's hard to handle all that. Wait, talk about the stress of filling out an invitation list.
Yeah, but now obviously things have softened a bit.
Remember that crazy hat at the last royal wedding? There was that one duchess or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that looked like a circle up on her head.
Yeah. Yeah. That became a big deal for a few weeks.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Keep her name off the list.
Yeah, she's not.
Is the moron coming?
that moron.
That bitch.
Bruce Willis is getting roasted by Comedy Central, and the diehard star can't wait to take whatever the network throws at him. He said, this ain't the first time I'll be tied to a chair and held hostage by a group of humorless a-holes for a couple of hours.
This is promising to be good. I wonder, it'd be great if they could get Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Because, now they've patched up their feud. Kevin Smith is a huge Bruce Willis fan.
Yep,
and then when he worked with him on that film with Tracy Morgan, it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be taped ahead of time and will be aired at a later date. So we'll see when that's coming up. Speaking of the Queen and the monarchy, Angelina Jolie is appearing in the upcoming ITV special, The Queen's Green Planet, in it she visits Namibia with her six children to shed light on forest conservation. She also discusses the lessons she is passing on to her children, some of which she learned from the Queen herself.
Is this a comedy or a reality series? Or
it's a documentary.
Oh, it's a documentary.
What it comes down to, she said,
hey, gang, we're in Namibia.
Is you say to the kids, really, you don't know her. You can't understand all that it means to be a queen and all that. But you try to say, she's really just this lovely lady who really cares about people around the world, and she really cares about the future, and she wants your grandkids and her grandkids to be able to be running around enjoying nature and other cultures and the importance of other cultures.
And she can fly.
She thinks that really matters, and I agree with her, is what she had to say about that.
It's an incredible thing to see the footage of the Queen yesterday. There was some additional footage of a documentary they were shooting on her, and she heard a helicopter flying over. and she was making comments that it must be Donald Trump or President Obama. She was joking with the interviewer.
Oh.
And you don't see that. You don't see the Queen doing stuff like that.
Levity.
Yeah.
Sin City director Robert Rodriguez is working on a slew of virtual reality film projects, according to Deadline. Yeah.
I wonder how this will work, because I have the PlayStation VR at home, which I love. The content that's generated for it is great. But when you're in a when you're watching a movie, where you look is sort of important.
Yes.
The director focuses your attention.
Yes. You might miss an important plot point.
I'm curious. Right.
Looking in the right spot. He also filled fans in on the latest news about forthcoming VR thriller The Limit, which stars Michelle Rodriguez as a genetically enhanced weapon of mass destruction. He told Deadline that he sees The Limit as a potential franchise with Rodriguez attached.
So there are VR theaters, right, that are now making their way out.
Are there?
Yeah, but...
So everybody sits with a headset on, I guess?
I would assume.
Wow.
Or just everyone has to look the same way at the same time.
Same time. Turn your head to the left.
Look behind you now.
The Westworld creators spoiled the entire second season of their HBO drama so leakers couldn't do it first, or not. In a Reddit post, co-creator Jonathan Nolan said fan theories during the first season created chaos. He said theories can actually be spoilers, and the line between the two is confusing. It's something that we've been thinking about since last season. The fans of Game of Thrones, for instance, rallied around and protected the secrets of the narrative in part because they already knew those secrets through season five. He said in a note signed by himself and co-creator Lisa Joy. So this time around, they decided to just post a video laying out the plot twists for season two.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting.
Is this the one where they Rickroll the viewers? Because there's another video they released.
In this story, doesn't say anything about Rickroll.
Okay, so this is the one that's legit, and then there's one where the actual characters from the series do the Rick Astley cover.
It says here, all right, guys, we left it in your hands. Some may feel that this is a drastic step, but I, for one, love and trust this community. He posted again with the spoiler video, which features a pensive-looking dog and Evan Rachel Wood singing.
That's it. That's it, then.
All right, but apparently they put in legitimate plot twists.
That I didn't realize. Yeah, I thought that was a joke, like an April Fool's thing.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what it says in this story.
So I bailed on this show. And I
did too.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I should try it again, because I just it didn't grab me for whatever reason. Casey, you talked a while back about, you know, watching like a half hour or 45 minutes of some Netflix show and then just not being able to make it through. And that's kind of how I felt about Westworld. I know people love it.
Yeah.
And maybe I should give it another shot. But
I didn't necessarily care for the story, but Thandie Newton was naked a lot. So
there's a lot of nakedness.
That's why I just kept watching it.
I watched it and I was... In 100%, and then it got mired down in its own stuff, and I was like, oh, man, this is a lot of work. I'm literally sweating watching this show.
Yeah.
People love it, though, man.
I felt the same thing. It was, bizarrely, it was a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
I already have a couple of shows that take a lot of work.
I'm tired.
I'm too stupid.
I'm tired to watch TV.
That fly was on her left cheek the last time.
Right.
Watching TV is hard.
Who is this? Is this a robot or what?
All right. So, I can't believe it's only season two.
It's only season two, yeah.
Okay, well, catching up is very feasible then.
How many episodes were in that first season? Anybody
200.
Know? Okay, 200. No problem.
It was just a 200 series run, season episode run. All right, and then one last story. Amazon is in talks to develop Sandstorm, a series on Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi.
Not on the dance song?
Darude Sandstorm?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe so. I don't know.
Well, that
would be more interesting, right?
There we go.
He was an eccentric guy. Maybe he liked the dance.
Welcome to Libya!
No, it's on Gaddafi, who staged a coup at age 29 and then ruled Libya for more than four decades before his death in 2011. Carter Harris behind Bloodline will write, and Mohamed Diab, who was behind Clash, will direct it. Anonymous Content and O3 Productions are producing.
You don't know how dumb Gaddafi is? He makes himself a colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make yourself a general.
Yeah. Or president or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm a colonel.
There you go, and that's what I have for you. Let's do the clips. In the musical drama Star, three young sisters searching for stardom will have to band together to make it big. And in this clip, Jude DeMorest, talks about the reality of the show. Here we go.
The coolest thing to me about the show was that it wasn't about stars who had made it, and it wasn't a shiny depiction of the music industry. It was about all of the things that you really have to do to make it and how truly dark it can be.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
Yeah. New episode of Star airs tonight, 9 o'clock on Fox.
That's good news.
Next clip. The in-depth documentary, Harry Potter, A History of Magic.
What?
Yeah, will feature a look at the British Library's exhibition from earlier this year, as well as interviews with people who believe in or practice magic today, including wand makers, witches, and psychics.
I'm an actual wizard.
Here, J.K. Rowling talks about the first time she published her books. Here we go.
That was the best moment of all, better than anything that has come since, was me seeing it. And it was a real book, in a proper real bookshop, and it was wonderful.
Shut the f*** up!
The documentary premieres on the CW tonight at 8 o'clock. So Harry Potter fans, I'm sure will
be. Wow, Nick.
I'm in.
Gotta watch that.
What channel?
It's on CW.
All right.
All right, and there you go. That. That's what I have for you, entertainment-wise. We have a lot of things going on this morning. We're going to have World Be Free stopping by this morning. We have Ike Barinholtz from Blockers, which is in theaters now.
Love him.
On the program, and we have three Olympic athletes coming by. We have Jesse Diggings, Hillary Knight, and Jamie Anderson, and they're in town doing some stuff with Comcast, and they are going to be visiting an elementary school at some point. It's a surprise visit.
That's ooh, going to take place. Yeah. The elementary school doesn't even know at this point.
That's what I understand. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day today, and we have a secret text word, which we do on Wednesdays. We have a chance for you to see Depeche Mode at Wells Fargo Center Sunday, June 3rd. Text word secret to 39333. A couple pair to give away. We'll give away one pair by you returning that secret text word to us a little bit later on this morning when we ask you to call in. And we'll grab a random texter as well. Tickets for the Depeche Mode show for Sunday, June 3rd are on sale now at Wells Fargo CenterPhilly.com. That and $1,000 to give away too with the birthday bucks. We'll have that coming up at 8 o'clock. Taking a break. Come back in a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. You can practically smell the gold.
Yes.
Here in our studio, because every single one of our next guests has won a gold medal and other medals. We are excited to have three Olympians here in our studio. So let's welcome them one at a time, if you will, please. From the world of cross-country skiing, and in fact, the United States' first ever women's cross-country skiing gold medal winner, Jesse Diggings is here.
Good
morning, Jesse.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have from the world of women's ice hockey, she's won several medals with our team, Hillary Knight is here.
Good
morning, Hillary. What'd you say?
Good morning.
There you go. And also, thank you for being here in the world of snow meddling.
Snow meddling, which is a new sport.
USA.
Yes. Snow meddling.
Well, she's a gold and silver medalist from the world of snowboarding, Jamie Anderson.
Yay! Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
All right. So, what are you guys doing? You're all traveling around together. What's this whole get-together of these Olympians? Can you tell us?
Yeah, we're all here as Comcast athletes, and we're super excited to be here in Philly and get to meet everyone behind the scenes who worked so hard to help support us and, yeah, share the medals.
So you're kind of visiting the mothership of Comcast and all that stuff over there, just saying thanks for, because it was extensive coverage throughout the Olympics. It was by far the most, for any fan of the Olympics, the amount of stuff that was available at any given time was crazy. Were you aware just how well you guys are being covered during that, all the different little stories and sub features and all that stuff? Did you have any sense of that?
I mean, I think I don't know about you guys, but I kept hearing from back home, like, oh my gosh, like I got to see
right.
your race. We got to, you know, just rewind it back and watch the replay as many times as we want. This was super cool. And I was really happy that Comcast brought it all back, because normally people don't get to see cross country skiing. They don't know what my sport is. And so they finally got a chance to watch it and experience it.
It was so much. I was half expecting them to have live feeds of you sleeping, you know, in your hotel room.
It's like Big Brother.
So, yeah, just like the Big Brother room.
Hillary, I was in a Dick's Sporting Goods the day after you guys won, and they replayed the game.
And I couldn't stop watching it. So I just stayed and I watched the whole thing. And that was thanks to Comcast because they just they knew that people were going to watch it again. And people like me did. And, you know, and it was just were you guys, can you watch Comcast while you're in the Olympics or how do you view the games?
Our own games, we just play them.
That's
okay. So you guys are on the ice.
You just look down.
No, but we're always watching what other athletes are doing in other sports. And I got to watch these guys. And then
do you go to the events?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. That's the big thing is once we're done, it's so much fun to just go and cheer on everybody else. But we did sneak out a couple times to cheer on the athletes, fellow members of Team USA. But no, the X1 platform was instrumental. I mean, I've heard from a ton of friends who weren't able to make it to the actual Olympics, and just being able to check in on the medal count and other events that were going on was huge.
Wow. So you guys all won gold medals. I have a six-year-old, and what he wanted to watch was like those tense moments of winning the gold. And you could, on that platform, you could go and just watch the gold, you know, the wins, the people that won the gold. So that's what we were would go back and just watch that. It was so cool.
He never had to deal with the suffering or the struggle. It was just the winning.
That's listen. I watched everything. I probably saw all of you win. But
life is about winning.
But yeah. For him, I wanted him to get into the Olympics. And
that's cool.
You know,
yeah.
Some of the stuff that drug on a little bit he wasn't into. So we just went to those gold medal winning moments, and he was into it.
Hey, what happens, you know, after Olympics? You guys have all done multiple Olympic Games, or was this your first?
Second.
There's your second, Jesse. All right. So when it's over, because it's great to see you guys out and still staying visible, because sometimes the Olympics are over and that's kind of it. All that you've worked for and trained and spent all that time preparing for has come. It's gone. You've been victorious. So you haven't. You guys have been victorious. And then is it time to just decompress for a little while? And how soon do you start thinking about the next Olympic Games? What happens after it's all over?
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so much hype around the Olympics and excitement, and everyone knows about it. And then literally in like the blink of an eye, it's over.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, yeah, who won the Olympics or what happened?
Right.
But I think all of us are staying busy, like spending time with friends and family. Thankfully, going and doing things with our cool partners like Comcast and Xfinity, which has been really fun to work with them this year. And yeah, I'm excited for a little bit of warmer weather. Yeah.
Well, do you how soon before you, because it's not just the Olympics, there are other competitions and you participate in, I'm sure. Is there how soon before you start training again for other stuff, you know? I mean, or do you never stop and you just take a little bit of a pause?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a lifestyle for all of us with our sport because it's what we love to do. We don't like completely step back. I know Jesse's been on the road like since the Olympics. I just finished the U.S. Open last month, and now I'm kind of taking a moment. But yeah, I think just staying strong and healthy, and
just like us.
Yeah.
How? Do you, and this might be a sensitive question, but I mean, this is a you're amateurs. You're not being paid to play this or perform in this particular sport or participate in this sport. It's got to be really expensive training and all that stuff. How does an Olympian do that? I mean, you have people that sponsor you. Are there products that sponsor you? Hillary, can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the partnership with Comcast, NBC, Universal is instrumental to both my development on the ice and off the ice, and also supporting my family as well on the journey, because it's not just only us as athletes, but sort of the team behind the team. But yeah, it's we also won a huge equitable support battle last spring, and that was big for women's ice hockey and setting a standard in industry and promoting equal pay for women.
Yeah, you've been very fastidious with that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about you know, women's soccer versus men's soccer at the USA level, and the women's US soccer team is way more successful on
the money shot.
And it is a money shot. And was 1980 was the last time the men's U.S. hockey won a gold medal?
They've been in the gold medal game, but haven't won since, yeah.
Right. So you know, it seems like maybe the women's U.S. hockey is the cream of the crop as far as, you know, hockey here in the United States. So, you know, equal pay would be nice, I think.
Yeah, no, I think for us it was just sort of equal support at the time, and you know, that's why we won a gold medal.
Yeah,
you know, we had the resources and we had the support, which was huge.
So I've heard, you know, about people chasing summer and people chasing winter. You know, so Hillary, you can just, you know, jump on a rink pretty much anywhere, but for the other two, Jamie and Jesse. So is there a counterpart? Because I know, like Sean White, for instance, will sometimes pivot to skateboarding, right? He's a snowboarder, but he pivots to skateboarding. I don't know if you have a natural pivot in your sport. And Jesse, do you like run marathons or anything along those lines when the snow melts?
That'd be cool to run a marathon with skis on.
Actually, the summer before last, as part of my training, I did a marathon on trails on the Appalachian Trail, which was really fun because it's, for us, a lot of endurance. So we do a lot of roller skiing, which is kind of like rollerblading, but they're longer. There's two wheels and no brakes.
I've seen those. Yeah.
Wildly exciting with the no brake thing.
Sure.
And how about you?
Yeah, I like to pivot to a skateboard all year round. I almost always travel with my skateboard just because I'm in airports all the time, and they have the best, like, cruising terminal.
Perfectly smooth. Yeah.
Do you guys ever dread the day when you just finally stand there and go, God, the cold sucks?
It's hard. I'm tired of the
You're
cold.
You're tired of it, yeah?
But I do love it. I've been chasing winters for, like, forever since I was a teenager, and it's so fun. Like, watching it snow is the most beautiful thing. And, yeah, I always grew up in the mountains, so I love seasons.
Yeah.
But I am excited for a shift.
You have a very relaxed sort of way about you, which is like a very in the mountains. I mean, she's breathing in the environment and the whole thing. And, you know, it's a cool thing. It's just, to me, all those sports, the winter sports, involve so much stuff you have to bring with you. That's the big pain.
Oh, my God.
And you talk about being in an airport and the stuff do you ever have a chance where you can just bring on a carry-on and – you know, put it in the overhead? Rarely, yeah. It's got to suck.
I'm always traveling with like 100 pounds of gear between my board bag and suitcase. And I feel like we're all on the road for multiple weeks at a time.
And 3 ounces of shampoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's all you can take.
That's 100 pounds.
Kathy, a question for you, which may in turn be a question for Jesse in particular, because I know that you were watching cross-country skiing and you had an observation about how weird it looked in some, like it looked like there were...
At some points, it just looked like you guys were falling down. Like, I mean, I know you're not, but I mean, it's just how much effort goes into going such a short distance. How fast are you actually going?
Yeah, so you'll probably see us falling down after the finish line, most races, because you have nothing left. And if you're racing maybe 10 kilometers, it's 30 minutes of going all out as hard as you can over that span of that race. So when you cross the finish line, you are done. You're exhausted if you've done it right. So if I cross the finish line and I'm not collapsing,
haven't done it. You haven't done as much as you could.
Yeah, I'm beating myself up a little bit. I'm like, man, I had something left in the tank if I can be standing after the end of this race.
That's what makes an Olympian athlete, someone who can absolutely empty the tank. I think I'd stop about halfway and cry. That would be my thing. That's how I would compete.
Jesse, I wanted to ask you about carrying the flag in the closing ceremonies. You were the flag bearer. At what point were you approached during the games for that? Or did you know beforehand that was going to happen before the game started? When did they tell you that?
We all got an email a few days before where you got a chance to vote for the flag bearer for closing ceremonies.
Well, that's how it works? The athletes vote?
Yeah, for opening ceremonies, I don't think we got to vote. Your sport gets a vote, but then closing ceremonies, each athlete gets a chance to vote.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
it was. That means it's reflective of the attitude of the athletes.
They love you.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
You're like Sally Field. They really love you.
Yeah.
It was really, really humbling for sure. I was like, wow, this is such an honor. And I actually thought I was maybe being punked when I got the phone call.
Punked on a global stage.
Yeah.
You're standing there with a flag.
They were like, you have to take this phone call. And I was like, okay. And we were at the USA house. We just presented our coaches with the Medal of ECOS Award. It was a really, really special time. And our press officer like pulled me outside and was like, you have to take this call right now. And it was the USOC saying like, hey, you are going to carry the flag in closing ceremonies. And I think I just said, what?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Shut up.
Sure?
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys look at curling as an Olympic sport? I mean, with all the.
You said that with such derision.
Yeah. Well, you guys train so hard. You collapse at the finish line. Is curling a worthy Olympic sport?
Yeah. I mean, those were our boys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to back them.
All right.
That's right. That's the, see, that's true teamwork. Yeah.
And they're from the same state as me, so.
I know, I know. So should we
I think it's a cool look.
Should we add shuffleboard to the summer games is what I'm asking then.
I mean, you need the strategy to pull it off. At the end of the day, I couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And they're not gonna down talk another
Olympic sport
like that. Jamie, I have to ask you, are you one of eight or one of nine kids?
I'm one of eight.
One of eight kids.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Now, do they all hate you because you've achieved so much?
What do they do?
Yeah.
I know. They're all awesome. I wouldn't be the person or snowboarder I am today without my family. My sisters were like my motivation to get out there and on the mountain.
Are they likewise competing in various sports?
They were actually the first X Games.
And then they gave up
medal.
Once you started?
No, my sister was a badass. She won gold in border cross.
And
recently has retired and is going to be a Chinese medicine doctor, which is awesome. But yeah, growing up with a big family, we had a lot of freedom because we had each other to like go on adventures with and go to the mountain. So
where do you fall in the lineup?
I'm the fifth, so right about in the middle.
Okay.
Two little sisters and a little brother and three older sisters.
You're the best kind of middle because you can make the older ones feel like they're not accomplished.
No, everyone's perfect.
Okay, all right. Well, I think it's awesome. Yeah, big family's a cool thing.
So. Jamie, did you move to Whistler?
I did, yeah.
Oh, Whistler's awesome.
I got engaged at Whistler.
Yeah, do you live there full-time now?
I don't really live anywhere full-time.
Okay.
I'm still based out of California, but I invested in property up there.
I have a friend that's into backcountry skiing, and he likes going there. And I'm always interested in how he doesn't get lost in the process because it's so vast. Mm. And the tagline for British Columbia is beautiful British Columbia, and it's true. It's the most beautiful place I think I've ever visited. But it's vast. In its expanse.
Well, the second tagline is, I'm profoundly lost. So,
have you ever gotten lost backcountry skiing?
It's scary, yeah. We spend a lot of time in the backcountry. That was kind of the motivation of moving up there, filming with the Full Moon girls. And it's scary. We use all kinds of, like, really cool devices. There's backcountry phones and GPS, like, navigation. Because, yeah, sometimes the weather comes in and you're back a couple mountain ranges. You know, sometimes 50K in the middle of the mountain. So you have to be really mindful of your zone. But I love it. That's what I live for.
I just know I would die in any one of your sports. Don't you have that feeling?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Whether it be hockey or cross. Yeah,
no, forget it.
You just do not possess the ability.
Have any of you tried each other's sports before at any time? Have you tried cross-country skiing? Have you tried snowboarding? Have you done either one? Any of you guys?
When growing up in our big family, we had cross country skis, and I did that before I snowboarded or skied or anything. I loved it. We'd build little tracks in our backyard, and the ones we had were the ones that went uphill, but I'd like try to make them go downhill.
All right.
How about you, Hillary?
Yeah, I've tried both. I can barely stand on skis.
Okay.
When the terrain's flat, just eating it a lot. But
you ever tried boarding?
Yeah, I went snowboarding this spring.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
It was good.
Were you pretty good at it?
Average.
Could you link your turns and the whole thing?
Oh yeah.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, I wiped out pretty good too. So that was a lot of good laughter there.
Yeah, of course.
Hillary, are you into trying rugby? Is that what we read about you? It's a sport you're attracted to.
Yeah. One of my former Wisconsin teammates is actually on the U.S. rugby team, and I've been talking about it for a while just because I think I have the frame to be able to do it. But
yeah.
I'm still in love with hockey, so maybe I'll just stick to that.
Jesse, how about you? Have you tried hockey or snowboarding?
I have. I'm terrible on skates. I don't even bother giving me a stick and a puck. I don't. Hand-eye coordination is not there. That's why I ski. But yeah, I tried snowboarding too, and my butt was black and blue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Takes a lot of falling before you figure it out. Absolutely. Yeah.
We get the same thing just from sitting and watching TV a lot.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Watching the Olympics.
Charlie Horse.
Yeah.
Hillary, NHL playoffs start tonight. Who's your favorite team?
Oh, I can't do
it's
that.
It's okay. It's all right.
I can't do that. I gotta cheer for my boys, and that's that.
You can't tell us?
No.
I mean, you know, we're friendly.
Yeah, but she's in Philly.
I mean, as long as it's not the Penguins and the Devils and Rangers. Everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Except for the Flyers.
Yeah.
All right, tell us this. Is it a West Coast team or is it a East Coast team?
East Coast.
Okay, well then keep it to yourself.
I gotta make it out of the city alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, but you did. We did read that you went snorkeling with sharks the other day, Hillary.
Yeah,
how was that? First time ever doing that.
Yeah, I think I didn't realize the sharks until after the fact, so that was pretty interesting.
Oh, really?
So were they going with you, or were they in the water when you got in?
No, so I got in, and I was like, oh, that looks like a shark, and it turned out to be a nurse shark, which that's totally safe for us to swim with. But
Well, they sound very benign, because they take care of sick people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nurse shark. But then we were swimming in another location, which I just found out about, that has bigger, heavier hitting sharks, so that was kind of scary now.
Wow.
Looking back, but... Yeah.
Yeah, my wife does a lot of scuba diving, and that first time you see a shark underwater, no matter what it is, it's not pleasant. So, is it something you enjoy doing? Is it you're going to do more of that?
Probably not.
You were convinced by the shark.
Yeah, they're beautiful creatures, though, so it was cool to see.
Understood.
What was the most dangerous thing? Because for you guys, Jesse and Jamie, being outdoors, and you know, there's obviously pitfalls. Things can get brutal on a hockey rink as well. But any natural issues or animals or wildlife or avalanches or things you've encountered in your years of being into snow sports?
Oh, when we're training in Alaska, sometimes you have to stop really abruptly for moose when you're roller skiing or running in the woods. There's some bears up there, so you have to.
Have you ever encountered? Have you ever seen them? Or you know, because you know what the moose situation? They're cantankerous bastards, yeah.
Right. I mean, they're really cool. They're really beautiful. I like looking at them from a distance.
Yeah.
So we always just train in groups, and you're never alone, especially if you're running, so that you're talking and making a lot of noise, and then the bears will just leave you alone. But yeah, you do have to be a little bit careful if you're way out in the mountains on a really long run. And
do you carry bear spray and stuff like that, or no?
Someone in the group usually
Someone in the group does. Has it, yeah. Yeah.
Hillary mainly has to deal with drunk fans.
Those are the best.
Those animals are.
However,
they're the worst out of all of them.
Hillary, I think you'll agree that one bear that makes it into the arena, it's one to watch out for.
You got to watch out because that's pretty brazen.
Yeah, they're smart.
Well, these ladies are in town, and they're here with Comcast, and they're making the rounds today. They're going to be doing a variety of events, some meet and greets with employees, and I believe you're going by a school today, maybe a surprise visit or something like that, and you know, inspire the kids. So it's a really cool thing. That's got to be really great, seeing kids look up to you, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They're all nodding.
Yeah.
Well, that's
actually,
part of the success, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to share the tangible success of the whole journey. So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you guys for stopping by this morning. Continued success. Thanks for doing your country proud. And we're very happy that you took a moment to come by here and say hello. So let's give some love, guys. We have Jesse Diggins, yeah. Hillary Knight,
yeah.
Jamie Anderson, Olympians, all gold medal winners. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. We may not have some gold, but we do have some cash to give away, $1,000 in particular with our birthday bucks. So stay close. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram present MMR's Mudder's Day 2018. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 12th. $15 per vehicle gets you in and a go at one of the custom dirt obstacle courses. Hundreds of Jeeps, Jeep parts to win, MMRBQ tickets, food trucks, and did we mention mud?
Join us for a great day. We'll get dirty with our Jeeps. We'll have cool prizes and vendors on site too, like DHY Motorsports, ExtremeTerrain.com, and more.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We are going to do the Bizarre File, and we're going to do it right now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by the Philly Pops, Philly's biggest rock band. The Philly Pops rocks the Stones, Zeppelin, Queen, and a bunch more April 27th through the 29th. Tickets are on sale at phillypops.org. A 63-year-old grandmother has appeared in court charged with sending obscene Christmas cards to her family, which had pictures of penises scrawled on them. Elish Hennessy is also accused of faking an 87-year-old relative's signature in a bid to get her home care stopped.
It sounds like a crazy grandma.
Hennessy of Ballyrone County, Ireland, appeared at court to face charges under the Postal Services Act. Detective Garda Connor Egan told the court around Christmas time 2016, the injured parties in the case received cards and letters from the accused, which were obscene, with images of male genitalia on
them.
There's
a whole bunch of penises on this card.
All the injured parties were relations of the accused, except one who employed her daughter. Margaret Conroy, the accused's first cousin, told the court that she had just buried her sister when a grieving mother received the obscene Christmas card. But they recognized the writing from a sympathy note from the week before.
Oh, she didn't sign it.
Ms. Conroy said, for someone to use the same pen to write that letter to my mother, who was 87, is bad, sad, and mad. I'm ashamed to say that she's a first cousin of mine. Hennessy is also accused of writing fake letters to authorities asking for her 87-year-old relative's home care service to be stopped. The court heard
so a... So sorry for your loss. I thought you'd like to see some penises.
The court heard a family row, possibly over land, is believed to have sparked Hennessy to write the obscene Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
In mitigation, Hennessy's defense said that she had no previous convictions, had written letters of apology, and was undergoing serious cancer treatment.
I can't say I wouldn't mind getting a few cards like that.
Yeah, why not? A Western Pennsylvania woman has been charged with shooting her husband in the head following what she alleges was an assault after she refused to cook him breakfast. 36-year-old Rachel Eusty is facing charges including attempted homicide, aggravated assault, and child endangerment. Police said that John Mackey was flown to the hospital in critical condition after the shooting was reported. Police say Eusty reported that the couple argued because she wouldn't cook him breakfast.
And so it's no to the waffles?
She alleges that he choked her and she pointed a gun to scare him off, but didn't intend to strike the victim. Eusty will be represented by the County Public Defender's Office. All right, one more. Oh, we got to go live on Fox. I forgot about that. 1 minute?
About 45 seconds. Oh, wow.
All right, here we go.
All right, do it quickly.
A door to a residence was damaged during a recent burglary, but the only thing reported missing by the resident was food, specifically chicken nuggets. Actually, two chicken nuggets. An unknown suspect entered the residence by kicking in the back door, destroying the door frame. Two footprints were seen on the door. According to the report, two chicken nuggets were also removed from the refrigerator.
Leave a nugget. That's one too many.
The damage to the door was valued at $100, but the chicken nuggets are valued at $1. The incident remains under investigation by the Columbia, South Carolina Police Department. So, two nuggets stolen.
Two nuggets.
That's your Bizarre File. We're going live on Fox. Good day. Any moment now, we'll hear some music, and then we are going to check in with the gang and see what they would like to talk about this morning. Then after that, we're going to end up doing our birthday buck. So get yourself set, because we'll get you all the info you need. Here we go.
Hey, let's get to Preston and Steve. You guys with us?
Yes.
We're here.
Yes.
I don't hear you.
Oh, you gotta be kidding. What?
Wait.
We were gonna ask them about friendship.
Well, let me set it up.
How about now? Can you hear us now?
A real friendship, according to researchers, forms after spending 80 to 100 hours together. Now, that's not, you know, continuously.
Right.
But you've got to know somebody about 100 hours before you feel that bond of friendship.
And that's just friendship.
Can you guys hear us?
No,
we're gone.
Yeah.
So that's probably a whole nother level.
All right, sorry, guys.
They can't hear us.
Yeah, that's it. They can't
hear us.
That's
it. It's over.
I assume they tuned out on us, too. So.
Well, time to tune over to Chio.
I sped up that chicken nugget story for you guys.
What? Huh?
They're bringing us back.
Are we here?
How many years do you think you two have spent together?
Can you hear us?
We missed that last part. We had brought your audio down because we thought you guys couldn't hear us, and we were going about our business. So, sorry. Could you reiterate the question?
Sure. Your radio listeners, well, we found this research that says if a true friendship is formed after you spend 80 to 100 hours together, but not just sitting together. It's doing certain things together. But how long have you two known each other?
20 years. 23 years.
So,
does that make the friendship stronger, or are you ready to go?
We're in a full-blown sexual relationship. We have long past friendship, and now we're doing things that they don't even do in Germany.
What?
Wow. I've seen those videos,
But I mean, because it gets boring, right?
You got to keep things interesting.
Yeah. No,
well, sure.
I think that's, you got to spend, in different things, certain profound things can move the friendship along, but I think you got to get to know somebody. I think we all put up sort of barriers And we want to make sure someone is, okay, this guy gets me, or I get this guy.
Well, it was interesting. The research said that if you do certain things together, this is one of them. If you watch a TV series together, you watch Empire or something
or
on
Game
Fox.
Game of Thrones.
That makes you closer together. Do you guys do that?
Well, years ago, we watch every... Because we talk about shows so much, and years ago we were watching Lost all at the same time. But I mean, also the fact that our livelihood has been tied together for so long, we have a relationship that's more, I think, even profound in many ways.
You know,
it's like The Notebook.
Now, the question, though, do you have to be, like, sitting on the same couch watching the TV show, or is it just you just happen to watch the same show and you talk about it?
Close together.
Now, my question is, since your livelihoods are tied together, how do you know you actually like each other? Like, what if you're just doing it just so you can pay the bills?
Yeah, like Alex and I, we fake this.
You completely fake it? No, we do, but it's also, there are things that, you know... How would you describe it, Preston? We would know
if they hated each
other. Yeah, it's a different thing.
Yeah,
I think we are different enough to keep it interesting because I think Preston is more like Casey in sense of some of the sensibilities and things that they like.
Stuff, yeah.
But
I think you have different types of really close friends. You have your really close work friends, and you have your long-term friend that you grew up with, that you shared these secrets with.
Exactly.
I don't think you can put them all in the same package, to be
honest. All right, Preston, if you had to really unload some very personal information, who on that staff would you turn to?
I probably Casey. He and I.
Casey.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of we've vacationed together and stuff like that.
They've
so.
Traded porn pictures together.
Yes. Oh, you have no idea.
Yes. You have no idea.
That's actually true.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not close friends with each and every single one of the people on the show. You know.
Yeah.
If
you closer to people that you have intense conversations?
Or what
with?
About inside jokes?
All of us.
And
all of us have our own individual inside jokes with each other. Yeah.
Okay. Because Preston, Steve, we've known you a long time. You don't really have the same sense of humor, do you?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. A lot of it.
My job is, my job is to make Preston laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. So we do synchronize in that way.
And I asked Steve to make me laugh more. That's kind of my job, too. So.
Yeah, they have the same sense of humor. Steve's just funnier than Preston.
That's true.
And that's not an insult.
No, that's true.
It's a compliment for Steve.
Yeah, Steve is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you're adorable.
I think I love you.
See? I don't know what it is, but guys fall in love with me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
There's
just something about him that I love.
It's a natural muscle.
Wow. What's not to love?
You guys should go to Germany.
Look at this.
What is this Germany?
I mean,
I'll see you in Düsseldorf this weekend.
Is he in Düsseldorf?
Do I
need to Google
this?
No. You don't.
Yeah.
Where is this going?
Alex, I'm going to send you some sights. Take a look at them.
Oh my God. All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm missing the inside joke.
And it's all, if you were raised in Berlin, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Hey, good day. It's Wednesday, April 11th.
Bye, guys. Okay.
I'm missing the joke.
Oh, dear Lord. All right, we need to do this. It's 8 o'clock, exactly.
MMR's Birthday Bucks.
All right, let's do this. It's a little chance for you to win $1,000 from WMMR Philadelphia and A&T Chevy in Sellersville. I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you a number. You text that word to that number, and you do it within the next 15 minutes or 15 minutes past the hour. You very well could win $1,000. Here it is. The word is Chase, C-H-A-S-E, Chase, and the number is 40772. All right, so we're picking these random words, and we're throwing them into that special company-wide short code number that we have for you. So text the word Chase to 40772. Good luck to you. Hope you win. Case, are we doing? We already did the bizarre file.
Yes.
Oh,
we jammed it on in.
Forgot. Oh my God! I forgot we did that.
Normally, so you guys want to talk about nugget story and everything?
Yeah. Nah, we're all over the place. All right, no, we're not going to talk.
What are we doing?
We are going to take a break. That's what we're doing. We'll come back in a moment. We got a lot to get to this morning. World Be Free is stopping by. We're going to have Ike Barinholtz on the show as well, and more. We'll get into much more of it when we get back. See you in a minute.
The Philadelphia Flyers are in the hunt for the Stanley Cup, and MMR is all flyered up to carry Game 1 versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's a battle for Keystone State dominance. Tonight at 7 on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I need to mention this because I got a few texts of, I guess, I don't know if the stream cut out when I gave the word and the number for the Birthday Bucks text.
Yes.
So the word is Chase, C-H-A-S-E, and the text number is 40772. You got about a minute left to do that. All right, so the word is Chase, and the number is 40772, so get on that now.
I feel like my head is jammed up my ass today. I'm totally discombobulated. Is that Mercury in retrograde thing still going on?
Pierre said it was going on for a few more days.
I just feel like I've, you know, making stupid mistake after stupid mistake. It's bothering me.
I think it's happened to a lot of people. It's happening to me as well. So
what the hell?
We'll do what we can.
I can see the light from my mouth. That's how far up it is.
Hey, I want to send a shout out. This is from, I'll read you the letter. Says, please send a shout out to Sergeant Tom Carver, who is retiring after serving for 23 years as a Delaware State Trooper.
Wow.
Tom is the epitome of a public servant, loving to get out there and help people and finding some pretty interesting and horrifying stories along the way. Tom began his law enforcement career after starting out as a broadcaster with WDEL, WSTW in Wilmington before discovering that broadcast pays squat. Some people, right? Or it might have been when he crashed a car with two passengers, including Matt Cord, on the way home from a concert.
Is that right? So 23 years as a state trooper, huh?
Yeah. Haven't heard that story.
I'd like to hear some of his stories.
Congratulations, Tom. Cheers and beers from all his beer-loving friends in the PA Beer Nerds. I guess it's a group. So, Shart, please, and good luck to you, man. Congratulations.
Maybe we can end up as state troopers.
You never know.
Could you imagine the disaster we would be?
Oh, my God. Here's another one. It says, Gadzoo Express and Steve, Kathy, Casey, Nick, Marissa, if you could send a huge, juicy shout-out to my daughter, Kiki Lamaster. She's an avid podcaster listening from Scottsburg, Indiana, every day, or as she refers to it, I can't say the word, Crapsburg. She misses PA and all things Philly, is a huge Eagles fan, and even was on your Win a Date with Kyle Echol.
Oh!
Whatever happened to that guy, she says. And if
that did happen to him.
It wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have my first grandson, Grayson. She met his dad at your Halloween concert in 2005.
Oh, wow.
She loves you guys so much because it gives her a piece of home every day. I only get to see her and my grandkids once a year with our annual Jersey Shore trip in July. But it's her birthday, April 16th, and since I won't be able to see her till our trip, she will just love hearing the shout out from her favorite people and her dear old Ma. But sorry, Ma, we don't do it exactly on the date. I try, but it doesn't always work. Anyways, thanks. You guys rock on. Shirley Herman in Holland, PA. It says, be salt and light, then shake and shine. So here you go.
It's hot. It's sticky. Can I have something to wash it down?
That was Kyle Echol, by the way.
Yep.
All right. So there's your shout out. So a couple of stories I felt like running by you guys. Junk drawer.
Yeah, sure. You know what? No.
Wow.
You did junk drawer last time, and I would say that these, from what you were indicating to me, probably fall in the realm of the noticer.
I think they do. I think you're right. So
I saved us from near disaster.
I noticed this story last night while surfing
the
online.
Noticer, by the way. Thanks for just breezing right past my intro.
I noticed this last night. An old style of combat is on the way back. Bare knuckle fighting championship.
A bear would kick your ass.
We'll put on an event Saturday, June 2nd, per Mark Raimondi of MMAfighting.com.
Do you remember a movie called Hard Times with Charles Bronson?
No.
He was a bare knuckle fighter like in the early, I guess, 20s or I forget exactly when it was a period piece. But bare-knuckle fighting, like alleyway fighting, was a big wagering sport.
Well, this marks the first time since 1889 that the United States will host sanctioned bare-knuckle fights.
Brutal.
Yeah. According to bare-knuckle fighting championship president David Feldman. The event will be held.
Who is that?
David Feldman.
Is that his brother? Guess what? I think that's his brother.
Okay, well, anyway, the event is going to be held in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Does he do stuff out in Cheyenne?
I can't imagine.
And will feature current professional boxers and former UFC and Bellator fighters.
My name is David Feldman, and this is my brother.
Bare knuckle heavyweight champion Bobby Gunn, former UFC heavyweight champion Rico Rodriguez, and kickboxer Maurice Jackson are among the names on the card.
This is crazy.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
You guys ever been in an actual
fight?
Yes.
Like a physical?
Yes.
Okay.
And? It was not pleasant. A guy, I told you, the worst one was a guy coming at me with a box cutter.
Have you ever been called out? Remember that? Did you guys have that in St. Louis? I call you out?
No.
For fights in
to,
school.
Like, show up
when you wanted
somebody?
To bat, I call you out.
Yeah, that was...
You'd say the words,
yeah, that was
you.
It.
I call no. you out, yeah.
No. Now, I've never been in a full-on fist fight in real life. I've sparred and done things like that, but I've never...
It was a major fear of mine growing up.
Sure. It's, it
being called out?
And a fist fight sucks.
Yeah.
They never last, the two that I had, for 20 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
That's it.
The idea of being called out scared me. Now, listen, I've gotten into some scuffles just, you know, like playing football in my side yard or whatever. And, you know, somebody tackles you wrong or whatever. And you end up like getting in a little bit of a fight.
Shoving match.
No, like punches and stuff like that. But just the idea of like, I call you out at 3 o'clock. We're going to meet at this place and we are going to fight. That was terrifying to me.
Yeah, I had a couple.
I finally started watching Creed last night. I haven't finished it, and I hadn't seen any of it before, and I'm really enjoying it. But I'm curious as to the gyms that are in Philadelphia that, you know, do they generate fighters for events like this, Preston? Like this, is that why you would train to be a fighter if you're not going to make it in a legit boxing organization or a separate box? Would you do something like this?
Yeah, maybe.
But there are different degrees.
Or it's somebody who's looking for a new challenge that's already done MMA and wants to maybe, yeah, try to be a rising force in a different, in an offshoot of a fighting sport.
And get paid to do it. I mean, it's such a tough road to hoe.
Well, so my friend was doing boxing, right? And at first I thought it was just because, it's a good training thing. But no, he wanted to actually get into a ring with somebody and wanted to get punched in the face and not for money.
Like he,
right?
I like to get punched in the face.
I mean, I've known this guy a long time and he is a competitor and a lot of things, you know, he's a basketball player and... track star and all that sort of stuff. And
bare knuckle stuff would be is serious, though.
It I mean,
if you're taking bare knuckle punches to the face.
Are you allowed to wear mouthpieces in
there? Oh, yeah.
You would have to.
This is just no gloves. But you'd be surprised at the people who are trained and really adept and maybe even fight professionally for, different fighting sports at the idea of a real street fight. They hate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's even though they're almost assured that they're gonna win. They still the idea of doing it is just not good because bad things can happen.
People can get killed. Yeah. I have been close fist punched in the face and it is not pleasant.
No.
And despite what you saw in Every Which Way But Loose, the fights like that. That's why I say they don't go long.
No. Oh yeah. I mean, they're just trading blows back and forth, and nobody falls.
Yeah, you can cause serious.
Yeah.
That's why I'm amazed that they're sanctioning this.
Yeah, I remember on a school bus ride home in high school, these two guys got into it on the bus. All right, we're gonna settle this. You know, when we get off the bus, and everybody got off, surrounded them in a circle on Waverly Avenue.
Fight.
And those guys didn't want to fight.
No,
you know,
no one does.
They danced for about 10, 15 minutes, and then it was like, I don't want to get punched.
Yeah. There's a lot of posturing, mm-hmm. and it usually doesn't go the distance.
Well, according to this guy, David Feldman, he said it was such a struggle to get this going because nobody really knows what it is because they haven't seen it in 130 years. But now they're going to know what it is. It's a great sport and a great night of entertainment and some great athletes, and people will have a lot of fun. He's, fighters in both boxing and UFC wear different forms of gloves. Feldman views gloves as protection for hands, not heads, and says that bare knuckle fighting carries less risk for head injuries. He said it's not just a great idea, it's safer for the fighters. One of the athletic commissions has to believe in the facts, he said. Tickets are going to start at $50 pay-per-view for $29.99.
So is the headgear more? It would have to be.
I have no idea. I got to believe that there is no headgear. I mean, you already have UFC fighting where they have very, very thin gloves and they have no headgear. They have mouth gear, mm-hmm. But it's full on punches to the face. So, you know,
that's crazy.
I don't know. But we'll see if it takes.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. We've actually had David Feldman in our studio. He also is one of the organizers of that Cheesesteak Festival that's been, you know.
That's right. That's where we saw him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, now it's. Bare knuckle fighting.
Bare knuckle fighting's gonna be awesome.
Yep. I noticed some other things.
More from the noticer. First, we learned about bare knuckle fighting. What else will he tell us about? What else has he noticed? Listen and you'll find out.
Candy.
Candy.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, I like it.
No, no.
No?
No.
Necco.
Oh. You know, Necco wafers.
Necco wafers.
Oh, yes.
It's not candy.
No.
It's not.
Toss it out. They are sweet Eucharist.
Well, listen, some people love them. And it is the country's oldest candy company. And they may be going out of business and people rushing to stock up on Necco wafers.
It's a candy that your grandmother gave you.
Okay, so this is why Jackie Bam Bam sent me a picture of Necco wafers this morning?
That's right.
Okay.
I remember these things.
Yeah, of course you do. And you know what? They're not only do they make that, though, they make a few other things. They make Mary Jane's, Clark Bars.
And Mary Jane.
And they make the little... Valentine's hearts.
Hearts with the messages
yeah,
on them.
Yeah, which tastes like crap, too.
Yeah, awful.
They're the exact same thing as the Necco wafers.
Their best candy in their inventory with them would be the Clark Bar.
Yeah.
You love Clark Bars, right, Press?
I haven't had one in so long, I don't remember what it is, to be honest.
Okay, for some reason I thought you wanted to have it, because you had an awesome candy bar, a literal candy bar at your...
That was my
party.
Wife's doing.
Yeah.
So
it's like a Fifth Avenue, isn't it? Or a Butterfinger? A Clark Bar?
It's peanutty.
You know what I liked for Zagnuts?
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. Zagnuts.
I used to like Zagnuts. And yeah, a Zero Bar. That's what I had in my. Yeah, white chocolate.
Yeah, Clark Bar, the peanut butter crunch, almost like a peanut brittle.
Okay.
It's, yeah, like a. Who, did somebody like say
Fifth
Avenue?
Fifth Avenue and Butterfinger. That's what it is.
Yeah. I do like peanut brittle.
the noticer likes peanut brittle.
Fans are most upset over Necco wafers, though, in the whole lineup. According to the Wall Street Journal, the candy, which the journal describes as chalky,
it is
also known for its long shelf life, making it even more ideal for hoarding if you want to buy a bunch. Joe Prince, the president of CandyFavorites.com, told the publication he's received hundreds of inquiries over the weekend about the candies and where people can buy them. He said they're shocked and scared. They're not happy about it. CandyStore.com also reported that it has received calls from people who wanted to buy the whole supply of Necco wafers the day that Necco's CEO Michael McGeehan announced that he would shut the company's doors if Necco couldn't find a buyer.
So is there a local, there's a local factory that produces Necco wafers, aren't there?
Don't know.
Isn't there, I should say?
I don't know.
It's from New England Confectionery Company based in New England.
Nick, can you do a little research? I think there might be one locally, like a satellite plant or... facility somewhere near here that manufactures them as well.
Somebody will pick up this stupid recipe and make them.
Maybe.
You remember, like, Twinkies went away for a little bit. That didn't last long.
Yeah? Do they still make them?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had Twinkie in decades.
Forever.
Yeah.
Last time I was working as a cop outside the Nakatomi building.
That was a movie scene.
That wasn't me?
Yeah.
It was Die Hard.
Necco wafer sales increased 63%, by the way, a sign that consumers are panicking about this message. they've been produced since 1847 and enjoyed as far back as the Civil War.
Oh, really?
And many of them are still the ones manufactured during the Civil War.
Unbelievable.
This is what you put in your bomb shelter.
Right.
Hey, Nick, you had on your computer screen over there at the top, it had a whole list of candies that they made, and one was a particular lollipop that I haven't had in forever.
What's it called?
Oh, man. I
can't remember. Right there, Nick. You mean, no, move that. Move the cursor.
This one?
No, hang on just a second. See these right here? Candy history.
Uh-huh.
Are these the ones you're talking about, Case?
Maybe.
What was it?
Well, so they were different, like, fruit-flavored type of lollipops, but they were chewy lollipops.
Are you talking about the taffy?
Not it's almost like a Laffy Taffy, but different.
Not a blow pop.
Not a blow pop.
No, that's what Mom did.
were they circular and flat?
Rectangular.
Rectangular.
Rectangular and flat.
And they were almost like...
Nick, you were on that. Whatever that home screen
I'm
was
scared.
On before, it was at the top of the screen.
Okay.
This one?
Oh, that's it. Slapsticks.
Right below the fisting picture.
Oh, I don't remember those.
No, that's actually, that was the picture of it, but that's not the, that's not what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Oh, it's bringing me back, though.
All right.
It's bringing me back, man. Casey, would you like a lollipop? I've never seen a lollipop like that, Mother.
Yeah, slapstick. I don't know, Case. Anyhow, they're going out of business, and people are panicking for the Neccos.
What would you hoard if you knew that there was a candy that was going away? What would you hoard if
Chunkies.
You? What's that?
Chunkies.
Chunkies?
Chunkies.
Oh, Chunkies with the raisins. That's a good choice.
Is it?
No. It is not. I'll answer my own question. It's a terrible choice.
I'll tell you what to live the rest of my life never having another Kit Kat.
You would be. Oh, no, you wouldn't be okay.
I wouldn't be okay with that.
Okay, got it.
Snickers. It's my go-to.
Yeah.
Snickers or Hershey's Almond Gold.
Oh, you like the gold?
No, no, not the new one. Oh. If you go to Hershey Park, you can get the Chocolate World, you can get the bigger ones with more almonds in them.
Got it.
Hot Carls.
Hot Carls.
Really good. Yeah.
Put the cellophane on your face and... Somebody scrattles on top of it.
It's not a candy, guys.
It's not technically a candy. You're right.
It's not.
It's a treat to some people.
A deviant sex act.
To some people.
Yeah. The lollipop I was thinking of, they're called BB Bats. If you guys saw if you saw a picture of it, you would, I think you would remember.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Like just the two letters BB or BE?
No. BB Bat.
Okay. Yeah, Casey. Oh, yes. Those are old school.
Yeah.
I remember those.
Banana.
They're not bad. Banana.
BB Bats. Were they local? Did they make them around here?
I don't know.
Did you find anything that is supporting the
Vermont
local Necco wafer?
I'll tell you where you might find them. Cracker Barrel. They have all kinds of vintage candies.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. They have Chunkies.
And they also have Travis Tritt CDs.
Yes, they do.
Yes, you're right. He was big for a little while.
He was huge. Mm-hmm. You'll find all of his music over there.
They also have, oddly enough, great holiday decorations. Whatever holiday it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last a full season.
No.
Are they built well?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Really? I did not know.
Yeah. I have a great wall hanging for Christmas that I forget exactly what it says, but basically that Santa got it mixed up and he made you fat instead of bringing you a fat bank account.
Okay.
It's cute.
That's hilarious.
Also, any John Deere or Mustang stuff.
Yep.
Sure.
You can get that at Cracker Barrel.
Or placemats that show you all the fish of North America.
Stuff like that. Exactly. All right. I want to get to some other things.
Please, come on.
I did notice some stuff.
The noticer's pressed for time. More entertainment just around the corner.
Now, I noticed this story. I probably would notice this particular...
You would notice what you're noticing?
Predicament had I had a chance to go see A Quiet Place, but I have not seen the movie yet. But it turns out that moviegoers are having issues with eating their popcorn.
What did I tell you?
While watching A Quiet Place.
I said that I would, to see this in the theater, I'd have to go at the earliest matinee and try to minimize the audience because it's absolutely dead quiet.
Yeah.
And any noise is going to be a distraction.
Maybe you could whip it up into a smoothie or something like that.
I think that'd be perfect. Just have blenders in the lobby.
So the movie has gotten rave reviews from critics so far, but many viewers took to Twitter to mock how sensitive the audience seemed to noises. One of the users wrote, "Audiences here are so passive-aggressive over people making noises. If you get a popcorn piece stuck in your throat midway through A Quiet Place, you just have to die." And another one wrote, "Try to eat popcorn during A Quiet Place. Trying to eat popcorn during A Quiet Place was exhausting."
Yeah, and it's the whole idea is, like, for example, if you look in the trailer, they put things down like powder to minimize the footsteps outside and things of that nature. So I desperately want to see it. I want to see it right, though. And if there's a noise distracting and screwing it up, that'll ruin the whole experience.
But everything, I mean, my issue with sound in the movie theater is when you're missing dialogue and things like that.
Yeah.
So when there are quiet moments... I will refrain from rustling through whatever, you know, if I have a bag of Snickers Minis.
Snickers.
Or something like that.
But this apparently...
I will wait until more sound happens and then I'll dig in.
This is like from almost beginning to end where you're in
but
silence.
But I'll do that mainly if people are talking, you know, if there's people having quiet conversation. If it's just quiet, then I think you're going to be okay. But some people are self-conscious of it because it is a tad bit noisy.
Do you know what I'd like to do?
What?
Go to a Friday night screening and bring Gary Lauer. Could you imagine?
It's so quiet! Who brought that guy?
Oh, my God.
I really want to see this movie.
I'm scared!
But I can't.
Case.
I can't go to a movie and not eat popcorn. I have to.
You can eat popcorn.
What you do is keep, if I may suggest, to minimize the crunching, coat your mouth with KY jelly.
Okay.
and chew it that
way. It's okay to eat. It's okay. You're allowed. It's okay to eat popcorn.
It's in the Bill of Rights.
I know that some people, you have a friend that has issue or something. You told me a story about if you're just doing what you normally do.
It's my brother. He's got that issue with crunching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it makes him angry.
I'm sorry.
I don't mind in a regular movie. There's a great movie from years ago, Preston, called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. No, not Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Wait Until Dark. With Audrey Hepburn. And there is a, she's blind. She's in an apartment. Alan Arkin plays a murderer who comes in, and at a certain point to level the playing field, she kills the lights.
Okay.
She shuts off the lights. So you're in complete quiet, and you're hearing little things.
You're just relying on the sound.
Yeah, and in a theater, if there's noise or distracting noise, that will ruin the impact of the scene.
Yeah. All right, let's see other things from the Noticer.
More from the Noticer, who keeps noticing things he's noticed.
Yeah. I noticed that there is a really expensive way for you to go into space, possibly down the road.
And you said you would not, or you would?
I probably wouldn't because of the volatile nature of, you know, getting there.
You mean occasional explosions on the launch pad?
Yeah, I used to think, man, I would go in a heartbeat. I've seen a few of those rockets explode, and, you know, no thanks.
That's a way to go, though.
That is a way to go.
I'll tell you
the story.
I would do it. If someone were to put up the money for me, because it's way out of my range. Mm-hmm. But, Preston, could you imagine going into space and then landing the way the rockets are landing now?
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Incredible.
The SpaceX rockets.
Yeah.
But if you do, it costs you $792,000 a night.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Yeah, it's not that bad,
yeah,
right?
Is that on price.com?
It's a luxury hotel. Houston-based aerospace startup Orion Span says it aims to launch its Aurora station in late 2021.
Does that include continental breakfast?
I don't know. The company announced on a blog post by early 2022... will be hosting tourists, astronauts, space research, and manufacturing on board Aurora Station.
And aliens.
But if you'll want to stay at this resort, you'll want to start saving up now, as it'll cost guests an estimated $792,000 per night.
You know, I imagine it being Preston like Generation.
Yeah.
Where you have aliens, all different cocktail tables, and, you know, that would be cool.
Frank Bunger.
The Bungers in space, did you hear?
Orion Span, founder.
Where did he get the money?
And chief executive officer says,
turns out Bunger bought the Necco factory.
We're not selling let's go to the beach equivalent in space. We're selling the experience of being an astronaut.
Huh.
You reckon that there are people who were willing to pay to have that experience?
Of course there are.
Interesting.
Did you know you can't burp in space?
You can't burp. Oh, burp.
You can't burp in space. Yeah, just Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, the Canadian astronaut, just tweeted this out, and there's science behind it. I don't know what it is.
You have to bring recorded burps with you. Right?
I would, however, I wouldn't mind going to some unique hotels, like the ice hotel or an underwater hotel.
My wife was just by the ice hotel, that one of the trips she took recently. And it's very wild because they do have heating elements within these ice hotels and big blankets and stuff like that. It's a full seasonal hotel. There are a number of them that are chopped out of the ice. The underwater hotel.
Yeah, the Jules Verne.
Which is that what it's called?
Yeah, my cousins stayed there because they're divers.
Is it off the Keys?
Yeah.
Yeah, Key Largo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is very cool, Nick. And then there's one that I see all the time. There's probably a couple of them. Where it's up in the mountains, and your room is basically a dome, where, you know, it's
a clear dome.
Clear dome. Yeah. So in the night sky, you can drink it all in.
There's a cave hotel in either Arizona or Utah that I went out there last summer.
I've seen pictures of that. Like, you're in a cavernous room.
It's one room.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you have to book it, as you can imagine, well in advance.
It's just one room?
It's just one room.
Okay.
And, but, Steve, the funny thing is that they actually run tours through it. So you probably don't want to stay in the room during the day. But it's
people
not,
are walking through.
Yeah, because people go down and check it out. But it's not ridiculously expensive. It's in the $300 or $400 a night range, and so it stays the same temperature all the time. And at night, you turn the lights out; it's pitch black.
Oh yeah.
What would you say is the plushest, most amazing hotel room in the city? Where would you think it is?
Oh, in the city?
In Philadelphia.
Well, it's going to be the Four Seasons.
Yeah, the new
Four Seasons when it opens up.
probably will rank at the top.
In the Comcast building?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the top four floors of the building and the best views in the city.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Nicest one I've ever stayed in was at the Rittenhouse. And we just did a, you know, it was an anniversary.
Did you get a suite?
Yeah, we got a suite. That's awesome. I mean, so way more room than we'd ever need. It had a dining room. It had a living room. It had, you know, bedroom.
We stayed in the Jerry Vale room at the Airport Ramada.
Oh, wow.
It was excellent. Ooh, that's nice, yeah.
They had an extra strip of saran wrap over the toilet.
When you when you get a room like that, don't you not want to leave at any
point? Yeah, we didn't.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, we ordered up and stayed and watched TV. And we had plans that we were going to go out to dinner or something. We ate in the room.
Yeah.
It was too damn nice.
How could you... these things are gorgeous a lot of times, and sometimes they'll bump you up at some time. You go to a resort, and if they just, you know, if you've gone a couple of times or whatever, just they'll randomly do that.
Put you in the Kapua Suite.
The Kapua Suite.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh.
Oprah
season. I knew that, damn it.
So anyhow, I would like to do one of these unique hotels. Space, that's an interesting idea, but it looks like we're headed in that direction, man. That things like that are going to happen next, 20 years or so.
I'm a huge fan of 2001 A Space Odyssey, and there's that, you know, they fly up there.
Pan Am.
Doesn't even exist anymore, but it's so cool.
Yep. All right, other things.
Wolf the Noticer.
Yes.
He's noticed so much today.
Obviously, this Facebook stuff with Zuckerberg being in front of the Senate Council or the Senate hearings that he had yesterday is obviously on the tip of everyone's tongue. But the there is some studies that have been done that have said recently, and we've always said this, research at the University of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia, led by Professor Eric Vanman, wanted to investigate the impact of quitting Facebook on the user's stress levels and overall well-being. The results, which have just been published in the Journal of Social Psychology, may convince you to possibly get rid of Facebook, at least for a little while.
I was watching some guys, and there were a couple of psychologists, a panel talking about this last night. I actually have not been on Facebook for maybe three or four times over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't do it. And one of the guys said something that was really sounded very accurate. Facebook, by... in and of its own nature, is meant to be agitating, controversial. Because think of it, Facebook in the model that you would have thought it would have been, and here's the new baseball I bought, or here are my kids, and then it was destined to be a thing of polarization. Destined.
It didn't used to be that way.
No.
It didn't start that way. It was destined to be.
Yes.
Or, oh my God, I can't believe we're, you know.
See in the park on Saturday, blah, 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 blah. And it was all much more benevolent. And we're reaching out to our neighbors and blah, blah, blah.
But really, and all it takes is one person.
And then it begins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were saying, is that it was always going to end up a controversial, polarizing, agitating site.
I go on it every day still.
Do you?
So does Casey. Oh, yeah.
Does it drive you crazy? Does it piss you off? I mean, because for a while I was using Social Fixer, take out things, but now it's too much.
I find it entertaining. Some of the stuff that's on there is very entertaining to follow along with. If something makes me angry or pisses me off, like political stuff, I scroll right past it. I don't even look at it. I'll post occasionally, not a ton, but for the most part, I use it, and I'm not kidding, for the yard sale sites. That is why I go on Facebook. I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, it all goes back to another point, which is, ultimately, it's up to you, the user, to know how you use it and to do your due diligence and realize if something on there is fake, or don't believe everything you read on Facebook. And you could monitor and run things yourself and handle it quite nicely. But there was just so much annoying stuff on there. I just disconnected.
I've muted those people, you know, so I've noticed that if on a consistent basis, somebody's posts put me in a bad mood or affect my mood in a negative way, I'm like, why are you even in my feed? I won't unfriend you.
Yeah,
mute them. Just mute them.
Yeah.
And so you just don't show up.
I'm not able to avoid the acrimony. And I think that's my own personal fault. Like when I go on any social media, I see it and it sort of infects my brain a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And so to the point of it being stress inducing, for me it was. And I've told you guys many times that I got rid of Facebook 10 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago, and I haven't...
A lot of people are now.
Yeah, but I haven't missed it once. And I believe me, I get it. I understand the appeal. My dad's on it. But my mom's never had it,
And I'm a bit envious of people who have never had it in the first place because today they don't know either way and are probably happier as a result.
Yeah, I've taken a good long break from it, and I'm definitely happier. Definitely happier. So they took the participants in the study, and one group was asked to refrain from using Facebook for 5 days. The other group continued to use Facebook as usual. Researchers took saliva samples from the participants, both at the beginning and the end of the intervention, in order to measure their levels of the stress hormone cortisol. And they said taking Facebook a break for just 5 days reduced a person's level of the stress hormone cortisol. It's known to soar when a person is stressed. And in fact, the hormone is considered to be a key player in stress, regulating how our body responds to it. Too much cortisol can compromise our immune system, make us more vulnerable to infections, impair our memory, and predisposing us to obesity, among other things. However, staying away from Facebook might also make you sadder, at least in the beginning, as a professor says. While participants in the study showed an improvement in psychological stress by giving up Facebook, they also reported lower feelings of well-being. People said they felt more unsatisfied with their life and were looking forward to resuming their Facebook activity.
Just go on Twitter.
But they're saying that that might be for the short term.
Yes, that it's you're going to take a dip and then you'll rebound.
You eventually get over it.
Yeah, I think for me, Twitter is actually probably a more negative space than Facebook.
Really?
At least with Facebook, if you want to get into a debate, you're getting into a debate with somebody you know. You know what I mean? Twitter, on the other hand.
See, I find it the other way. I find that what happens is that you'll. I found that on Facebook, people who I had as, you know, that I'm friends with would start to post these very vitriolic things that were sort of, in a way, throwing me and lumping me into a philosophy
I felt, and that's why I muted those people. But if I wanted to, I could debate them, and I never did, but I could if I wanted to because I know that person rather than because, you know, I follow a certain, right. You know, people on Twitter, they will end up retweeting blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, and then I, you know, end up reading things and I get pissed off.
Best advice.
Yeah.
Don't debate anybody on anything on social media at all, ever.
Yeah.
But it's just a road to pandemonium.
It is easier to be an anonymous a-hole on Twitter than it is to be an anonymous a-hole. You can't be an anonymous a-hole on Facebook. It's much harder.
Yeah, true. So you're going to find more a-holes on Twitter because of that fact. So, they suggest if you find yourself getting stressed out over this stuff, you should bail on
pleasure yourself.
Or pleasure.
Well, that's always I mean, Twitter's great for that.
I'm going to tweet right now.
The happiness portion of it, Preston, we've noticed many times if somebody becomes single, posting things on Instagram, for example, and allowing those compliments to roll in. And I wonder if that is a direct link to short-term happiness.
Oh, I'm sure. You're inviting compliments. You feel down. Oh. So I'll do it. I'll post a cute shot of my ass.
Right.
And the compliments start rolling in.
Right. It's so obvious when a hot girl is single because you start seeing a certain brand of pictures being posted regularly. It's like, oh, there you go.
Yeah. Fishing for compliments, also fishing for sympathy. You know.
It's over. What happened?
Well, the Kendra stuff that we talked about earlier in the week, you know, like she posts everything online and a lot of it is fishing for sympathy.
You know what I hate the most is people posting about their dead pet. I don't bring me down. You know what I mean? Like, Bruce. I'm really sorry that happened. And I love my dog and my cat. Like, I love pets. And I don't want to know about your dead pet because it makes me feel sad. And I don't want to feel sad.
I think you should then let them know in very terse language.
How dare you?
Yeah.
You and your dumb dead pet.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that when they're announcing that their pet passed away?
Yeah.
You think that's...
It's not a person. You know, I understand a person dying. It's like, hey, listen, this person, my mother, my father, aunt, uncle, this person passed away, and the services are going to be on this day.
What if it's not about services? What if they're just simply looking for comfort?
Well, you can do that, too. I just don't think I don't think social media is the place to find comfort.
Don't drag Casey down into your misery.
Well, one time, this is the equivalent. My brother, before Facebook ever existed, told me about this cat that got hit by a car in front of him. Yeah. I was like, why'd you tell me that? And he told me about the whole thing. It was chasing a stupid squirrel. The squirrel suckered him in and ran in the middle of the street. And I'm like, dude.
I'm sorry. I thought you had a soul.
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry. I thought you were human and could show compassion.
I don't know. That type of thing does not bother me in one shape or form.
It bothers me because I was like, dude, like,
Animals are dying as we speak.
I don't need to know about it specifically.
I don't. Here's
where it crosses over. Like, I'm fine with it. If something happens, somebody loses a pet, I got it. Or somebody in their life, I got it. That's fine. My wife will sit there and seek those things out.
Oh.
And she'll be sitting there at the table. What are you reading?
Yes.
Gerbils in a splint.
I guess I feel bad for the person. I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me that the dog died or whatever. I'm sorry that you experienced this loss in your life. You know,
we understand.
Yeah.
No, I understand the pain of that loss. I don't want to feel sad. I don't want to feel sad. I end up like it's my superpower is that I end up I absorb your sadness and I don't want to absorb your sadness.
I'm gonna.
Yes.
But it's okay when a close relative or spouse or child dies?
Yeah. Like I said, if you need to let people know, it is a good loudspeaker.
So you don't mind that kind of sad?
What because, if family- for instance, a friend of mine's father passed away, and I didn't know until months after his funeral. And I would have liked to have known prior to so I could have at least gone to the viewing or something like
that. What if a beloved family pet kills a beloved family member?
Oh, man, you are screwed.
Yeah. And it's a murder-suicide.
A battle to death on both. Yeah.
You got a dead animal.
We lost Fluffy and...
So do you leave the animal out of that?
Ellen.
And then just the person?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's listen. Just like in a movie, you know? You can kill 1,000 people and I'm like, oh, whatever. But the second the dog bites it, I'm like, oh...
There's a great website you need to check out, and it's called Does the Dog Die? It lists all movies where the pets die.
Oh. So you don't go see it?
Yeah. Yes, or you know when to tune out.
Marley and Me, I was reading that book.
What was happening.
Every single time he did something good in the book, I was like, oh, my God, he's going to die at the end of this. And it made me feel really sad.
Do you remember the beginning of the original Brian song? They quote Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway once said, all true stories end in death. Take that with you.
Yeah, true. What were you going to say, Kathy?
I didn't cry at all at Marley and Me. I thought it was a great movie.
You were glad he died.
No, I wasn't. But, I mean, I just think that's part of it. Like, and yes, of course, I knew what was going to happen in the end. But
he got the house all filthy.
I thought it was. I mean, there was hair everywhere. How many limp brushes can you buy?
Finally, it's over. Finally, the goddamn carpet will stay clean. I understand. Sometimes you're not easily manipulated by things like that, though.
No, but I mean, I thought it was a good movie. It's part of it. That's what. I don't know. I don't feel
it's
the same
part
way.
Of life.
It's part of life. I don't feel the same way. I would probably have been sobbing if Jennifer Aniston died and you know.
But she lost the baby, and then Marley put his head on her lap because he knew, and he was trying to comfort her, and that's why dogs are awesome.
Marley though put his head on her lap while she was pregnant and killed the baby.
Is that? Oh, that's really what happened.
That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
No, listen. If people are reaching out honestly for sympathy, it's fine. I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
But you're saying you're an empath. There's a great episode of the original run of Star Trek. It's an episode called The Empath, where this woman actually physically will absorb all your pain, take it away from you, and it ends up almost killing her.
Mm. This quick text, and then we got to move on in just a moment. It says, what about when a girl is married and starts posting sexy selfies on Instagram? What does that mean?
I mean, she's a keeper.
It means she's just like everyone else.
This is, LOL, yeah, I filed the divorce papers because of what those posts were a clear sign of. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Interesting.
Yikes.
Well,
I mean,
that's a bit reactive.
I mean, yeah. if it's innocuous stuff like her with two guys, that's fine.
Right.
Three
is
too much.
I mean,
too much,
what
guys.
Are the odds she really knows the third guy?
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. It's a funny thing, man. Social media in general, and it's a...
The noticer says it's a funny thing.
It's a conversation that's been going on for a while and will continue to go on for quite some time. All right, these are things I noticed. I wanted to pass them along to you. I thought you might be interested. We have to take a break because we have a guest who's waiting in our green room. Mr. World Be Free is going to be joining us. We'll tell you about what he's got coming up. And we're also going to talk to Ike Barinholtz, who has been in our studio before, about blockers at theater, movies in theaters now. We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Sixers have been playing amazing. 15 games in a row?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, buddy.
And tonight... they will be playing, and it's a special night. It's Fan Appreciation Night, which is really cool. And there's all kinds of awesome announcements that are coming along with this, and we're going to get to all of that. But we want to welcome a gentleman who is truly a larger-than-life figure, and he's here in our studio, ambassador of your Philadelphia 76ers, the one and only Mr. World Be Free. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good to see you, World. How you doing, man?
Well, no, I'm doing great. And the way things are going right now, I'm even doing greater, if that's a word.
You know what? Though with Fan Appreciation Night tonight, I think it's well-deserved because it was a couple of years ago that the request was made. Give us some time. Let us work things out. You know, trust the process. And the fan base really responded and said, okay, let's see where this goes. And man, oh man, it's paying off like nobody could have imagined.
Well, you have to look at our players.
Yeah,
these guys, and really, you have to really start with the coach. At the beginning, everyone was really like down in Brett Brown.
Yeah,
not everyone,
but yeah. You know, it was like, you know, Brett Brown couldn't coach and everything. Brett Brown came from a great system with Popovich out there in San Antonio. So I knew this man had championships underneath his belt. So I knew he had something.
And it was clear from the beginning about what the everyone was looking to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He knew. Think about it. This man had a locker room. Players that played in the D League, mm-hmm. playing on the NBA court, trying to keep everything together, and he had nobody in that locker room arguing with each other.
Yeah,
throwing chairs. Back in the day, we would have been throwing chairs if we lost 10 games.
Right, right, right.
For the whole year.
And so now you have this benefit. You have this embarrassment of riches that a complete 180. So again, I say Fan Appreciation Night. You got some great fans, great supporters.
The fans of Philadelphia are unbelievable. One thing about it, I tell Ben and Joel, I let these guys know, look, these fans out there, they'll love you, they're going to hate you. There's no in-between.
Yeah, it's no secret. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
well, you got to go ahead and give it to them.
There's almost always love there unless there's no effort, you know? And,
exactly
and so,
right.
Like, the hate only, in my mind, comes if, I mean, if you suck, they're going to boo and whatever. But if you're not trying... Or if you don't have a plan,
right.
that's when the disdain really starts. And I just, you know, 2 years ago, the team was 10-72. And now 51 wins. They could end the season on a 16-game winning streak. In your memory world, can you compare and contrast these teams to the great teams of the 80s, to the Allen Iverson teams? You know, how good are these guys?
These guys are exceptional. If you look at what they have Rocco that could really shoot that three. He's playing more defense now, but this guy's probably the best shooter on this basketball team. Not slighting J.J. Redick, but I tell you the truth, just from watching these guys and practice and all that kind of stuff, you look at Ben Simmons, one of the...
It's amazing.
Future. It's just unbelievable what he's doing on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. You know, in his first year, you look at Joel Embiid. He gave us a little inkling of what he could be last year. He started the whole thing. He wanted to come out when Sam Hinkie was released saying his name is Trust the Process. So that's when I knew this guy was going to be a real character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but he backs up everything that he does. And, hey, he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great player.
And go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, Nick mentioned Iverson. I see that he's at a lot of the games. Is he at all of the games now? And is he doing anything with the team or is he just there watching?
No, he's working with us, and he does things like what Julius Erving would do, what Doc does, give us those appearances. Like when we need just something to get that over the hump, rah, 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 when you see those guys, that's what you get, you know what I mean? Because that's what they give us.
It's good to see him back and doing that.
He looks better.
He looks much better. He looks like he's in a better place. And he brought a lot of joy to the city. And there was obviously some missteps here and there, but... to see him engaged and enjoying this resurgence, I think means a lot to the fans.
Well, what you got to understand, you know, as players, you know, when we play on the NBA level and on the court, you know, it's a different person once you retire. When you're out there, you have a different kind of animal that you are.
Sure.
And
by necessity? By necessity?
You have to keep everything going while you're there.
Yeah.
But once you retire... you get to see that real person. All that real, that hype is gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's going to be you, the man. And I believe that's the transition that Alan took.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
He's doing great.
So the building is exciting to be in. You know, so what's going on the court, you know, we could talk about that all day. But the hype around it. And you know, I watched that game on Friday night. And, you know, there was a huge lead. But, like, I just, you know... that the building is going to explode when they go on a run, and then Redick will you know make a three on the run, or you know anybody, but like yeah. when that three falls and you see it's like the roof is going to get blown off of that place. It is. Have you ever heard, you know, even in your playing days, a building get as loud as the Wells Fargo Center has been this season?
No, this season has been special, you know, and I got to credit Brian Colangelo too. By bringing in Bellinelli.
He's another one. I mean, the way he shoots the ball, and I understand that he practices that, you know, shooting on the run, shooting, you know, just sort of wonky off-centered and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they fall. Oh. It's amazing.
Well, see, I love it because he has no conscience. And mm-hmm. those are the kind of players who play for me anytime.
Yeah.
You know? So every shot, I think he's going to make that next one.
It helps to be sociopathic, right?
Is it me, or does he look like Leon from The Professional?
Oh, my God.
He does.
Oh,
yeah. He does.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even notice that until
Jean
now.
Jean Reno.
Wow.
Jean Reno, yeah.
By the way, the Sixers have released a new logo for the playoffs, which is pretty cool. And they're going off of something historical once again. And a couple of things that are specific about it is they've done the so you have the Liberty Bell.
Yes.
The 76 looks like a more classic 1976 version.
It does.
Of the number of font that you would have found back then. And Philadelphia is written across the top of the bell in cursive, which is supposed to signify the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And they have a snake in segments that's going around it, and that's from a cartoon a political cartoon that Benjamin Franklin had done. So they're really focusing in on playoffs and making this super special. And so they debuted that information today, I believe.
And yep. you can download these, right? The graphics?
Oh, I don't know.
I think you go to PhillaUnite.com to upload photos. Okay, the fans should go to the campaign microsite, and I guess you can share and put it on social media, spread the word that way, correct?
Right.
Yeah, all right. Very cool.
So what happens on Fan Appreciation Night? Is there special things that are going to be taking place tonight?
Well, we always have special things over in our place.
Yeah.
I mean, like every game is something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, we respect and we appreciate the fans of Philadelphia. As you can see, once the Eagles won, how they almost had like a million people out there, you know, for the parades. I mean, like we're looking forward to all that kind of stuff.
You know, be cool if you want to do something tonight that's kind of fun. I've always wanted to see it happen because the pyro, the flames are so intense. Just flash cook full turkeys at the end of each quarter.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Right. Wouldn't that be wild?
You smell nice.
Yeah. Yes, you smell nice. Because I don't care. You're anywhere near on that floor. Yeah. The heat from those suckers is amazing.
Well, it is. You're right about that. I did have the sides, so when it did start, then that was it for me.
That was it.
Yeah.
You don't want to go up in flames.
No. I got to ask you, because the Sixers, tonight's game matters.
Yes, it does.
You know, we're currently a 3 seed. You know, a win tonight would guarantee the 3 seed. We could play any one of 3 different teams, you know, win or lose tonight. The Bucks, who mm-hmm. we're playing tonight, we could end up playing them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Heat and the Pacers are all viable contenders. Is there of those three teams, is there any one that you would like to see the most and the least in the playoffs, in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing the Bucks. I don't like the Pacers.
Okay.
It just seems like we have – to me, it's like the matchups.
Hard to get their number?
Yeah, to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when you're playing a team seven games in a playoff series, after a while, you know, after that those first two games, back to back, and keep playing, you start to know everybody like, you know, it's like yesterday. So
yeah, yeah.
It's Indiana, just to me, just like a difficult matchup for us. But I don't mind the Bucks.
Hey, I want to ask you something a little more practical because you're in that building a lot. To avoid traffic, how early do you get there and how long do you wait before you try and leave?
You can be honest.
He's leaving after the show. He's leaving from here.
Or do you leave before the game's over? Which some people do just to beat the traffic.
Well, I couldn't say that because I'm working.
But, where is he? You just call
you
in.
You can tell by my suits if I'm gone.
Yeah.
But it's just a little darker in there. Yeah. But, but the thing...
He's eyeballing Kathy.
I love your suits.
Kathy knows.
Yeah, the stank.
Listen, they've been the best suits for years in that place.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. But I believe if you get there early enough, you'll have a chance to go ahead and enjoy yourself. You know, they tailgate in football and baseball. You can tailgate out there, have a little fun before the game starts, and just get yourself ready. You know? And as far as time to leave, it all depends. If the game is like, you know, tight, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
So, you know.
Hey, what about they're doing obviously this whole renovation there, which is looking really cool, the stuff they have planned. Have you seen a lot of the projected paintings of what they're planning on doing and the renovation? And are you excited about it?
Yeah, everything's special. I mean, like, they're just remodeling everything. I mean, it's 2018 now. So, it's just, you know, you go... Take down the old bitches, put up the new bitches.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go back to the whole traffic thing because
you must have been stuck.
No, I would recommend getting there early. You know, there's so much to do around there. Yep. But, you know, prior to the game, and you know, watching. I guess if the game's at 7, the building opens at 6 officially. Is that right, Lara? All right, the game's at 8 tonight. So what time's the building open? 7. Okay, that's what I thought. So. If you get there right, I just wanted to make sure because they do have a special shoot around that you can, you know.
You can watch.
You can watch. But then there's like the regular warm up. So if you get there at like, you know, 7 o'clock tonight, an hour before the game, you get to see all of that stuff. And, you know, it doesn't matter where your seats are. You can go down low and watch that. And I like to do that for Eagles games. But even at Eagles games, you're still far removed from from the field. But at Sixers games, when you're down low, you're really close and you get to see it all.
Well, it gives the fans an opportunity too to go ahead and see their best players close up, you know, as opposed to sitting in the seats. And I heard a kid a couple of times though when I hear kids talking about the players, they be like, "Look how big they are to the parents."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, mommy, you know what I mean? Am I going to get that big? Just drink your milk.
Well, I mean, even some of the other, because when you have a, you know, player standing next to Joel Embiid, Simmons, that, you know, even the ones that are 6'3" look kind of small.
Yeah, well, I'm a grown man standing next to Joel Embiid, still look small.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, Joel Embiid is a huge man.
Yeah,
it does make the difference of watching it at home or whatever, once you have that perspective to see just exactly how big these guys are and how they're propelling up and down the court, gives you a new appreciation.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Those guys, I tell you one thing, you know, they're very exceptional. And the difference from the day age basketball player and the day back in the day, these guys have more, seem like to me, they're longer.
Yeah.
You know, have these long arms, like Bridges from
from Villanova?
Yeah, from Villanova.
Yeah, man.
I mean, man's arms is like all over the place. But, you know, they're bringing in these type players. And, you know, that's
yeah, he can hitchhike on two separate highways.
Well, Fan Appreciation Night is tonight, and they're playing the Bucks 8 o'clock. And it's just a real exciting time to have the team just on fire like this. It's fantastic.
It's so cool.
Yeah, heading into the playoffs. So listen, World Beat, thanks for coming by this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Want people to take a look at the new logo and get your gear and your swag, and you can go online and do that and get behind these Sixers, man. Thank you. World Beat Freak.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Everybody. And we'll be back in just a moment. We are going to get Ike Barinholtz on the show. Stay with us.
MMR's 50th birthday concert series presents MMRBQ 2018, our annual all-day rock festival. Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion, starring Alice in Chains. Temple Pilots, Jonathan Davis, GA Performances from the Record Company, Dorothy, Radke, and In the Presence of Wolves.
Presale alert. Get the official concert t-shirt now and guarantee you get the size you want. Offer ends May 1st in the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Tickets on sale now. Just $35 to put your ass in the grass.
MMRBQ 2018. Don't miss it.
Nirvana Breed on 93.3 WMMR. I love everything about that song, but I really love Chris Novoselic's tone of his bass in that particular song. Could be my favorite Nirvana song, Breed. 9:30 with the President Steve Show. We're going to skip traffic, Kathy. We're going to come back to it because we have a guest who's on the line. We only get a few minutes to chat, so we need to do this now. This movie looks great. Blockers. It's in theaters now. I love the concept of this movie.
It's an R-rated comedy.
As a parent of teenagers,
yeah,
it's something I'd never really even thought about.
You're going to be dreading this.
I know, but I want to welcome, he's been in our studio before, and he is back to chat about the movie Blockers. Everybody, it's Ike Barinholtz.
Yeah.
Ike.
Yes.
Morning, brother.
Two things. First of all, I have to say all apologies. It's the best Nirvana.
we all probably have our own favorite, yeah.
Guys, I'm still, got to be honest, I'm a little shocked that I did not know Dr. Genter's retiring.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about
Ike,
that.
Ike, he's been keeping a secret. That. Yeah, no, I know, and you guys go back, but...
you still have time to get those breast implants.
I'm fine. I've just booked my next trip to Philly.
Yeah! By the way,
we're doing great.
Very excited for you, and we're all huge fans of your stuff. This is right in that R-rated comedy realm, but it flips a common trope on its ear, so to speak. So it's prom night, and the girls are looking forward to losing their virginity, and you are the parents. You, Leslie Mann, John Cena are the parents who are the blockers who are going to try to stop this before it happens. Correct?
Yes, that's what it's about. It's kind of from the point of view of the young women who want to go crazy that night, and
yeah,
their parents who are really three totally different types of idiots. And they are like, no, we're going to stop you. But as you know, like, you have teenagers, there's no stopping what can't be stopped.
Yep.
So they listen, guys, I don't know if you guys are a fan of hijinks and or shenanigans.
Yes,
you're going to see a couple of them in this movie.
There's a little rigmarole in there, too, I'm sure.
A little bit.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is, obviously, now you play a dad. I believe your name is Hunter, and you are you cheated on your wife, and you're not kind of an absent dad. Yeah. But when this comes up, you're like, oh no, this is not happening. But the cool part is, and I want to see the movie, but from what I'm seeing in the clips and what I'm reading in the reviews, You're not a one color guy here. They give you some depth. You have some emotion.
Yeah, I mean, initially the character was just kind of this louse who, you know, slept with the babysitter and you know, the kind of challenge was to make him, like, real and someone you root for. And so we were always trying to find out, like, you know, how to take that character and make it funny. And, like, I kept saying, like, you know, when I slept with the babysitter, you know, no one talks about how old she was. She was 71. She was a widow. but to kind of have this guy who has a little bit of depth, and even though he's made these mistakes and he's trying to get his family back, he's the voice of reason sometimes. And I just think it makes you kind of root for him a little more, because you're going to root for John Cena, because that's like, John Cena is the American flag as a person. And
he is.
Leslie Mann is just like, everyone loves Leslie Mann. So, you know, I have to make sure that you're rooting for me as much as you are those two. So to make him kind of a human being who has, like, some real dynamic stuff going, I think was very helpful.
Well, it's pretty wild, because I was reading, I don't know if this is true or not, but, you know, this is a comedy, but it says, one of the articles I was reading said you were injured on the set and injured two cervical vertebrae.
Yeah.
What happened?
I can't really talk about it. It was kind of a bummer, but it happened and it's over, and I'm just glad it's over.
Okay,
it was kind of a weird stitch, but I'll tell you about it when I see you.
Okay, all right, we'll get all the deets, as it were. Hey, we love this idea. We love all the stuff you've been involved with recently. Big fans of the Suicide Squad, and we were wondering if you are returning to the next one.
It's very funny you say that, because I saw David Ayer 2 nights ago, and I asked him that question, and he looked at me and said, "Dude, stop asking me. I'll let you know."
Well, you,
I was like, okay.
You were so good. Clearly you savor that role. For example, like in the movie Sisters, they made you the romantic lead,
Sweet guy, right? Yeah, I'm like, sweet. Yeah. But in my heart. I'm a person who wants to, like, torture Margot Robbie, you know? So I was really had to do a lot of acting during Sisters.
Yeah.
But during Suicide Squad, where I had a big goatee and I was just, like, this horrible person, that came very easy for me. I don't know what that says about me, but I think I have to call a shrink, dude. Dr. Gentner.
For
you, he will, yes.
Well, we love what you're doing, and obviously very excited for Blockers.
I'm going to see this movie sure, but we know
you
your time.
Listen, there's so much crazy stuff in the world. I promise you, if you go to see Blockers, you have a couple beers or whatever before you go, I promise you, you will laugh for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But you will go and laugh.
All right. I'm sold. I could use that right now. All right. Awesome, brother. We know your time's short. We'll see you again soon when you come back to Philly, when you make your appointment with Dr. Genter, but we'll have you in. But keep rocking, Ike. Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, love you guys, man. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Ike Barinholtz, guys. Yeah! Love that guy.
That guy could be one of our besties.
It could be.
He's very funny. He's
easy to get along with.
Yeah. And his stuff, by the way, we didn't even get to talk about the fact he co-wrote Central Intelligence, which is a movie.
I love that movie. Yeah.
And it came out of left field. Honestly, I didn't expect it to be as funny as it was.
Yeah.
And, it's solid. But he's definitely has major chops when it comes to that stuff.
Yep. All right, cool. We skipped traffic. So I know there's throngs of traffic fans out there and people that
they're in the parking lot right now, Preston, with the T-shirts and lit torches.
That was almost a protest, but let's get a look at traffic. Kathy Romano, your fans are waiting. What's
a
going
protest.
On?
Yeah. It's not about fans. It's about getting people to work. Pennsylvania
Amen.
Turnpike westbound jams from Willow Grove to the Mid-County Tolls. Schuylkill eastbound backing up from City into Spring Garden. Westbound University to South Street, the Boulevard to Belmont. On the Blue Route, southbound is jammed the Mid-County Tolls to the Schuylkill, and then from Route 1 to Meade. A northeast extension southbound. Jam.
Sorry, we have to move on.
At the Mid-County Tolls, good luck getting home, Preston. Route 1 northbound jams Route 13 to Bridge Street. The right lane jammed with, I'm sorry, only the right lane open. It is jammed because of construction. And then in New Jersey, Route 70 eastbound, we've got only that left lane open. This is gas main work between Cuthbert Boulevard and Sayer Ave. This traffic report brought to you by Boston Market. Come into Boston Market any Wednesday or Sunday after 5 and get a rotisserie prime rib meal with two sides and cornbread. Boston Market dinner is always ready. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Thanks, Kath. I want to mention this. We set it up yesterday, and apparently the response was pretty overwhelming, but I want to hit it again. I personally haven't looked at the responses that we got, but we're going to do it again. We're going to do Bucksco versus Delco, part two, and it will be Kathy against Casey. Who knows more, or who can traverse our roadblocks that we're going to put up in front of them to prove that they are more tried and true about their particular counties that they grew up in.
It's a rematch.
It's a rematch. It's 5 years old, man, and they're still...
Wounds are still open. Wounds. There's still pus coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm okay with it.
But we are...
Well, because you won.
Yeah.
Kathy's totally fine with it. It's the pus is coming from another direction.
She didn't win. I lost.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah. That would make me the winner.
Anyway, so we're turning to the residents. Listen to this. Listen, this, after all this time.
And by the way, on the surface, it's very, look at we're pretending.
But you're really
but it runs as deep as a canyon.
All right, so anyway, what's
that thing that they would say about you in high school? It burns deep. Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
It burns deep. All right, so here is what we're doing. We are asking for your help, and if you go to PrestonandSteve.com, you'll see the email addresses that you,
The people who live and are residents of Delaware County and Bucks County can give us questions that might be good to ask these two, or just let us know, even if you have a contest idea, that's fine as well, because we're a few weeks off before we're going to execute this. But we'd like to know, you know, about people and landmarks and great trivia questions and things that we could use for this particular competition. We want to find out from you. And then we're going to get a, like I said, we're going to have a county council. We're going to take all that. So if you send us fake stuff, we're going to see through it because we're going to get people that are actually from those counties here that we know locally to sift through and find the ones that they think are best.
Yeah.
And we'll have a big meeting and we'll make it all happen.
We're basing the model of this on how we cull the questions for our Christmas miracle. And we're bringing in a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And we'll refine them down to viable, real questions that both sides will feel are fair. Casey had some issues with questions last time around that were not, he felt were not asked properly or worded properly or all that correct.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure that we remain fastidious.
You know, some easy questions, medium questions, and really hard questions like what's the name of the amusement park in Langhorne? You know, really tough ones like that.
Go ahead, Kathy.
It's just, he's such a sore
Listen,
loser.
We threw you softballs as well.
I think one of your answers was Pinocchio's pizza. Like, seriously?
Yeah, we did it on purpose. And I even said it. I went back and watched the video the other day. I'm like, some of these we made easy. Just so we, for each of you, we tried to have the equal number of easy and hard. And
you're right.
From now on, we're going to make them borderline impossible.
The mistake was we had just a small group of people. We're extending it, and that's why here's the clarion call. We're looking for all the assistance we can get, and apparently people are rising to the challenge.
We aired some of the segments during Best of Week, right?
Yes, we did.
So I was in the studio when we were editing that break, getting ready to air it during our Best of Week. And to watch Casey and Kathy cringe and get excited and get disappointed and get angry again from something that happened 5 years ago makes me so excited about doing it this time around.
Me too.
I can't wait.
The questions that I got wrong, I was like, I know that now.
Yeah. By the way. This time around, we'll have our Jeopardy podiums, which I purchased from Amazon. We're going to have them set up, but I think they should push their buttons, Preston, with machetes.
Maybe. I got this text that says, more proof that you all hate Monco. Step up your game, Presbo. It's from Martin and Willow Grove. I didn't grow up there.
And
I'm a resident,
not fair,
and
yeah.
I'm a proud resident, but these guys have a rich history of these two counties, and their pride is palpable. You can feel it. You can taste it.
And they can lord it over each other.
Yes, that too.
That's really what we're looking for.
So we'll get that underway, but thank you for participating. We had a really good response yesterday, and I'll just mention it again, and if you can help out, that would be great. Just go to PrestonandSteve.com, and you'll see it's Bucksco at WMMR.com and Delco at WMMR.com. But Bucks is spelled B-U-C-K-S, not B-U-X. All right, Bizarre File time.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning it is brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club and enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. A woman arrested in the beheading of a man allegedly told West Virginia deputies, "You have to take me back and let me get my heads."
Oh, well, I think that's only fair.
Rowena Cheryl Mills, a 41-year-old woman, was charged Monday with second-degree murder in the death of 29-year-old Bo Allen White. The victim's body was discovered at his home, and an investigation led to Mills' arrest.
So it's just one head?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would she say heads for?
I don't know, but that's what she said.
What a psycho!
Come on!
Deputies allegedly found
she can't count.
Mills covered in blood. A criminal complaint said Mills was covered in blood wearing a glove on her left hand, and she also had a pocket knife on the right hand pocket in the right hand pocket of her pants.
Was it a glittery glove like Michael Jackson?
They didn't indicate. Mills, who appeared to be inebriated, reportedly gave officials a false name and claimed that she had been cut when she was thrown through a glass door.
Okay.
She was not identify her alleged attacker. Deputy said Mills became combative and refused to leave the property. After being detained, Mills reportedly kicked the dividing window in the police car and told officers, "You have to take me back and let me get my heads." And Mills was found with narcotics and was initially charged with obstruction. She was taken to jail. Investigators received a call later that day regarding a man found decapitated inside a home.
Oh?
Yeah.
See, I wasn't fibbing.
Deputies found another body part of the victims near the home where Mills was discovered. They didn't indicate what the body part.
I know what I think it is.
Yeah, me too.
The peepee.
The complaint said Mills was White's father's girlfriend, but noted that Mills went home with White the night before the murder.
Imagine cutting someone's head off.
No, it takes a lot of work, I would imagine.
It does, and I don't have that kind of time.
It was unclear whether the victim was killed by the beheading or if he died before his head was severed. The determination will have to be made by the medical examiner.
So they think that if he was alive, the beheading probably led to his death?
Yes, possibly.
Okay.
But if he was dead, then all she did was cut a dead man's head off.
Yeah.
Mills is being held at the regional jail on $200,000 cash-only bond. More than 50 geese suddenly fell from the sky into a parking lot Saturday evening in what officials are calling a freak accident.
I think I know what happened.
What?
I'm guessing lightning, right?
Yeah, well, maybe. Lightning or hail. Idaho Department of Fish and
Hail the dead geese.
Conservation officers believe the birds were struck by lightning during a ferocious hail and thunderstorm. So there you go, Steve. All the geese were discovered near Yellowstone Avenue and Lincoln Road in Idaho Falls, and all the geese were dead and fell from the sky at the same time in a several hundred yard radius.
That's amazing. And by the way, have you seen your average goose lately?
They're huge.
They're huge.
Yeah, they believe that it was a lightning strike, Steve, that killed the birds. Aww. Several of the geese had their stomachs blown open, and all of them were dead.
So they believe that if the geese had not been dead, it was the blowing open of their stomachs that led to their death?
Possibly. None of them were injured, however. Every single one of them died from the strike. Hail likely would have knocked them out of the sky, but they would have been able to glide down and land at different places. Snow geese fly at high elevations to the point they often aren't even visible from the ground.
I didn't know that they got up that high. Wow, we're looking at the back of a truck, and there's a whole ass load of dead geese.
Yeah, and they all fell out of the sky at the same time, 50 of them.
Edible?
That's nuts.
Can
I do
those?
Not know. I don't know if you can eat those things or not.
Well, we're going to do it now. They look delicious.
Yeah. For one brave man, eating one of the hottest peppers in the world came with an unexpected side effect. Days of splitting headaches that prompted a trip to the emergency room. The unusual case began immediately after the 34-year-old man took part in a chili pepper eating contest. He ate a Carolina Reaper, the pepper christened as the world's hottest by the Guinness Book of World Records in 2013.
Who would do pepper eating contests? What kind of idiots would do that?
Immediately after eating the pepper, he started dry heaving. Then he felt excruciating neck pain that soon radiated through his entire head. For the next several days, he would experience short but incredibly painful bursts of head pain known as thunderclap headaches.
Wow. That's had those, have you not?
No, I don't know if I've ever had thunderclap headaches. The episodes
they kill geese
so bad that he eventually visited the ER. Thankfully, a brain scan didn't reveal any major neurological issues, such as bulged blood vessels or bleeding.
I would be afraid of having a stroke.
But several of his arteries did appear to narrow significantly, a condition called reversible cerebral vasoconstriction syndrome. RCVS is known to cause thunderclap headaches and can be brought on by reactions to drugs, including cocaine and certain antidepressants. No case of RCVS has ever been associated with pepper eating, but the main ingredient that accounts for the pepper spiciness, capsaicin, is known to interact with our blood vessels either by constricting or dilating them.
That sounds unsafe.
And cayenne peppers have been rarely linked to heart attacks or suddenly constricted arteries near the heart. So,
do you remember the coworker we had, Preston, at Y100, who would not recoil from eating a super hot pepper, had no sense of its heat?
Yeah, it's the oil that caused the heat. They don't have any
receptors.
They're not sensitive to
it.
And we had several people in, and they were eating habaneros raw.
Oh, my God.
Like an apple.
Just downing them.
Yeah.
Now, when they come out the other end, though,
blows their bunghole out.
They can feel it.
Oh, so they feel it there.
Yep, absolutely. But there are some people that the spice doesn't get to. It's very, very wild. All right, and then finally, we'll do one more story. Multiple fire units responded to East Hollywood to help a man believed to be about 70 years old who got a, quote, personal body part stuck between the slats of a park bench.
Oh, this horny old bastard.
It was his balls, probably.
Yeah.
The firefighters quickly freed the man
I was having sex with the bench. I got stuck.
From the bench, according to a spokeswoman.
I was supposed to meet someone. She never showed up.
The spokeswoman cannot provide details about the personal body part or
how... my balls.
Or she couldn't details...
It was my shriveled old ball.
Okay, she couldn't provide details about his shriveled old balls or how they became stuck in the park bench.
My walnut-looking balls.
The man was taken to a hospital after he was freed, so I don't think he was really injured. They just wanted
it was my balls.
The jacket. So, thank you. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Oh, yeah, secret text work. Oh.
Ooh.
Yes, we have a chance for you to win right now. Tickets to Depeche Mode. I need a number caller, Kathy.
Caller number 13.
All right, you need to know the secret text word, though. Caller 13, 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We'll grab a random texter while we're at it. And the winning doesn't stop there because we'll have a lesson question when we return, as well as trash and music news. We'll be back in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We were looking for a numbered caller for the secret text word. Kathy threw it out there, and it was number 13, so I'm going to go to that person. It is Eddie, of whom we speak. Eddie, you're on the air. Good morning.
Matt Damon.
All right, Eddie, I need a word. It's our secret text word, and I got a prize. What is the secret text word, sir?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You're absolutely correct.
Reach out, touch faith.
And since you got it right, I'm going to put you on hold, get your information, and set you up with some tickets to see Depeche Mode at the Wells Fargo Center on Sunday, June 3rd. Tickets, of course, on sale now at wellsfargocenterphilly.com. And we grabbed a random texter on top of that. So we got Brad Mackey, who is from West Grove, PA. And Brad also gets tickets to see Depeche Mode. Wells Fargo Center, Sunday, June 3rd. Tickets on sale now, as I said, at wellsfargocenterphilly.com. I've said before, I told you, Steve, I went to see them, and I was like, I really didn't even really care for Depeche Mode, but the girl I was dating at the time wanted to go see them. I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll go. They were great.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I agree. I saw them three times in concert. The first time, because they're synth heavy, and they're, you know, it's a different sound.
Yep.
But man, they brought it. It was really energetic, and however their audio is mixed, it just blew the place apart.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to do a lesson question today. We're going to give away sweet tickets to join both Steve and Casey. They will be at the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race, and that will be on May 6th. So here's the question that I have for you. At the Cracker Barrel, you can get holiday decorations, chunky bars, and what kind of CDs? What artist's CDs did we hear about earlier? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know this. At the Cracker Barrel, you can get holiday decorations, chunky bars, and what kind of CDs? 215-263-WMMR. And while you are calling in, we are going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, this morning is brought to you by Dietz & Watson, Real Philly Deli. Want to choose the best hoagie in Philly? 18 delis are competing in the 2018 Real Philly Deli Face-Off by Dietz & Watson. You can cast your vote at phillymag.com/RPD. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, NBA star Tristan Thompson caught on video cheating on Khloe Kardashian with two women back in October when Khloe was 3 months pregnant. Thompson says he was not cheating and was, in fact, getting tips on throwing a surprise baby shower through his penis.
Hey!
Wow.
Playboy magazine revealing that Bronx native Nina Danielle is the new Playmate of the Year and the first since Hugh Hefner passed away. Danielle says Hefner meant a lot to her and was like a great-grandfather of her actual great-grandfather to her.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Nicole Nikki Vargas, who stars in a reality show called Bad Girls Club, was arrested in Florida last week for performing oral sex on a man while topless in a public parking lot. The arrest apparently prompted producers of another show to offer her a spot on Super Skanky Slut Squad. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, let's see if we can get ourselves an answer to this lesson question. At the Cracker Barrel, you can get holiday decorations, chunky bars, and which kind of CDs? 215-263-WMMR. That is a number. I'm going to go to, let's try Tim and see if we can get the answer. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tim, do me a favor and tell me, the Cracker Barrel You can get holiday decorations, chunky bars, and what kind of CDs?
Travis Tritt.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Travis Tritt. Hang on a moment. And we are going to give you some sweet... Wait, no. Yeah. Okay. I got a gazillion prizes on here. I want to make sure I get them right.
Sweet
tickets to join Steve and Casey Boy at the AAA 400 Drive for Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race. And that is May 6th, race weekend at Dover International Speedway. And it is actually the whole thing's going on May 4th through the 6th. It is 3 days of great racing and so much more. Tickets to the AAA 400 Drive for Autism start at just $50, and that is at doverspeedway.com. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
What the f*** is that? And it's brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys. Shave your head in less than 90 seconds and say goodbye to nicks, cuts, and scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. Use your promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. All right, let's see what we got here. A preview of what appears to be Ghost's new single, Rats, has emerged online ahead of the track's official debut.
I can't help but think of Charlie Brown when you say that.
I know. The 26-second excerpt comes from... It comes just days before the full song's rumored arrival on Thanksgiving evening or Friday morning.
Rats
is taken from the
Swedish... The delightful Charlie Brown story.
Rats.
The Swedish band's upcoming fourth album, for which more details are also said to be arriving at the end of this week. Isn't that funny? That used to be kind of a pseudo curse word for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Rats.
It was akin to the C word.
Yeah.
No. Was it though?
No.
No.
Oh, it was completely the C word.
Ghost frontman.
What did you just say? Did you say the R word?
R-dash-dash-dash.
But I didn't say wrote. I said the big one.
Ghost frontman Tobias Forge told Loudwire about Rats when he said, when I was a kid, there was a concert called Moscow Peace Festival. Ozzy Osbourne opened with I Don't Know. And it's such an effing great opening track.
Yes, maybe he's not like me, and maybe I don't like you much either.
He said this was in front of like 80,000 people who went nuts, and I wanted to have that feel with Rats.
What's that?
That's Rocky doing the Rocky.
Exactly.
Hey, do that again.
Maybe he's not like me, but maybe I don't like you much either.
I would not have even...
No.
The British thought they wanted to be in Snitkot.
I would have never picked up on that.
But Casey did.
I did. Yeah. Well, it's the best Rocky ever.
Rocky 4?
Rocky 3 was on last night.
Oh, dear God.
And they're still doing a marathon.
Clubber Lang and Thunderlips?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. God. That, the training sequence, especially with the beach race, which looks like...
It's him and Apollo, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is.
Apollo.
Yeah. But, not to go off on a tangent here, but Adrian's speech on the beach is so... She's a good actress, but not in that scene.
I don't remember. What was it?
You're a fighter. You gotta get up and fight. I married a fighter.
Yeah, you don't act too good. I know you're like the Godfather. You were terrific, but you're just literally terrible now.
There's a funny new character, Steve. I'm sure you've seen on SNL. That's every girlfriend in every boxing movie ever.
Yeah. Oh no, I'd love to see that.
It's really good. Is she
who's doing it?
One of the newer actresses. Yeah, and she's it's on Weekend Update.
Oh, I got to see that.
And it's basically like Renee Zellweger and Cinderella Man and meets Adrian meets.
The put upon, yeah. Long suffering.
Yeah, she's taking the kids to the sister's house, and it's one cliche after another, but it's really funny.
So maybe.
There we go. Yeah, if you have the clip, yeah.
So maybe you lose, or maybe you don't, but you gotta fight.
Excuse me, I gotta go feed the seagulls.
I, what?
They fly down and they eat it right out of your hand.
You're an idiot!
I'm sorry, were you saying something? I plan on giving up.
Instead of fighting.
This guy's a very good fighter.
Yeah.
He's got a mohawk.
Yeah. Okay. And Mickey protected me.
Wow.
So this was about Ozzy?
No, it was about Ghost.
Oh, Ghost.
And then we went to Ozzy, and then we went to Rocky.
All right, Russia.
But it's what we do at the Preston and Steve Show. Ghostman.
My name is Ghostman Scoobly-Doo.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you, Ghostman. Can you talk some sense into this bitch? That's how you fight with your woman, Scoobly-Doo.
Ghostman.
I think I've given up on the ghost story.
You going home?
Oh.
No, I'm not going home.
I thought you were giving up on the show.
I'm just trying to squeeze out anything else from this.
I'm home now. You asked me to ring the phone once when I got here.
Yeah.
20 years is enough.
No, he was talking about Ozzy, and he performed the song I Don't Know in front of this huge festival. He said it was unbelievable, and he said, I wanted to have that feel with Rats. I said, I suppose.
Wait.
Oh, that's, I thought it was there.
Rats.
All right, here's what you do, Adrian. You hold the football, and I'm going to come kick it. But don't pull it away. All right, here we go. Rats!
He said, it's supposed to feel like that sort of opening track, a song that could get 80,000 people to jump. And if you ever want to play bigger places, you need to have records that sound like you're playing in big places. So we have that in store for us at the MMRBQ coming up on May 19th.
I will make sure, because so many times we're engaged in other things while the concerts are going on. But I definitely want to see what Ghost brings to the stage.
Okay. Forge, a.k.a. Papa Emeritus, and now Cardinal Copia, said about the group's new LP, essentially, it's a record about survival, even though it's a record totally drenched with the threat of death. All right?
It's okay.
But for me, it's pure, it's very honest, very real, and for lack of a better phrase, very sincere, he said. Hey, Steve, you saw a little foreshadowing about this. Frances Bean Cobain,
yes,
has confirmed that she is absolutely going to explore a career as a musician.
We were listening to her singing a song. It was on the anniversary of her dad's suicide, I believe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's good.
In a red carpet interview with the Daily Front Row Fashion at the Daily Front Row Fashion Awards on Sunday, Frances said, I don't want to pigeonhole myself and say that I'm a musician or a visual artist because I feel like it's all-encompassing, and I feel like every bit of my art is related to the other. So do I want to pursue my music further and see it come to fruition and see something further and see something palpable? Absolutely.
Frances.
The 25-year-old artist and model shared her first ever piece of original music in an Instagram post earlier this month, an a cappella performance.
You pointed out that she's an infinitely better singer than her mother.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Just to be honest, and her father.
Yeah,
I mean, Kurt could carry a tune, but he's completely different.
It was
a rock,
yeah.
and real heavy edge to it. But anyhow, so Frances cautioned that the piece of music was not an official release, but merely an Instagram post. Asked by E! News what she imagined her father might think of her art, Frances remarked, I don't have an answer for that because I don't want to speak on someone else's behalf. I would hope that he would be proud of the human being I am, even if he didn't like the art that I'm putting out. That's all that I would ask of anyone in my life, she said.
I think you would have to be, you know? Look at how... So she's been sober. She beat her addiction.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it just booze or was it...
I don't remember.
All right, so she's... Sure. She got talent. She carries herself a lot better than you would expect, you know? Yeah. So,
considering.
Yeah, exactly. And also considering that she, you know... Courtney, the rumor was that she was doing heroin while she was pregnant with Frances, so... She's lucky to be moving along the way she is. Godsmack singer Sully Erna said that the band's upcoming seventh album, When Legends Rise, will actually contain the band's first full ballad. Erna explained, we're debuting our first ballad for Godsmack, which is a bit more epic, like a Dream On / November Rain style ballad. There's a lot of textures on this record. A lot of flavors for everybody. This is a clip of it right here.
It's very nice.
And he said, I hope everyone enjoys it.
I'm married to a very strong-willed woman. She gives me words of comfort on the beach.
Where the seagulls fly.
You know what happens in the training sequence, that montage? They add in a whole other part to the Rocky theme that's a real... screeching guitar solo.
Really?
Do you remember that?
No.
He's when he's training, he has a, which is a pushing it a little bit much, he has a band there, an orchestra playing the Rocky theme. So he is
while he's training, they have a live.
They're playing the theme of the movie.
What did he hire him to bring to come along while he trains?
Well, he's there, and of course, but Mickey's not happy with this because it's, you know, it's bubbles and stuff, and he has like bubble machines and all this, and you know, you're losing it, kid.
God, I've written out so much of that movie. And, this is Rocky IV?
Rocky III.
Oh, Rocky III.
Right. So he's
I didn't like that one either.
That's a cartoon. I mean, that one.
I didn't like it, none either.
Yeah. Yeah, that one in four.
Is this from that?
No, this is actually from Creed.
Oh, this is from Creed. That's right. That was.
No, this is what I meant to play.
Mason Dixon's music.
Oh, all right.
This is Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah, he gets in the car because he's angry driving.
It got really cartoony. They had a robot in that movie.
Yeah, Pulsations.
In three, right?
Pulsations.
Pulsar?
Yeah, it looked like
that's where I used to dance to Erasure.
Had a big crush on Paulie.
Right, yeah. Robot followed him around.
Mm. All right, anyhow, Erna added that he thinks that the new LP is really strong, saying, I think people are going to love this record. I really do. It's such a departure from what we've done in the past, but at the same time maintaining the integrity and the power of what the band has always been about. The vocalist side of the track, the title track, Unforgettable, and Eye of the Storm is a couple of his favorites off of that.
I think with Music News, you have a lot of reports about Sully Erna. He's very active.
Yep, absolutely. Then one last story. System of a Down frontman Serge Tankian is going to be a guest on the May 20th episode of Anthony Bourdain's CNN series, Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. The two will embark on a tour of Armenia with historian Richard Giragosian. According to the official plot description, Bourdain takes a wide-angle look at the culture and history of this country, breaking bread with Tankian at the restaurant Dolmama in Yavera, Yerevan.
There's a Armenian food store.
Not Dolmama.
All right, maybe I don't know these words, but you don't know them none either.
Well, it's Armenian. First of all, it must be hard to say that.
The general rule on if somebody is from Armenia is if their name rhymes with Armenian. Most last names actually rhyme with Armenian.
Yeah, Serge Tankian.
Yeah.
Kardashian.
Armenian. Kardashian. Yeah. Gergosian.
Yeah, Fred Bourdain is kind of cantankerous and annoying, but I love this show. It's a great travel show.
I agree.
It's you see parts unknown.
And he's, I don't know what the deal is, but I think he's softened a bit.
Yeah.
And it's more engaging because and you know what? He went going to areas that I'm interested in.
He went to that donkey's place in Camden, so it can't be all bad.
Yeah.
So anyhow, basically take a tour around Armenia. And
let's go to Armenia.
Tankian himself. Yeah.
One thing I've learned about you Armenians is that your last names rhyme with Armenia. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, because I don't know what disparaging means.
Somebody texted him, remember Music News? That was fun.
That was fun. Remember that?
Tankian himself commented in a post featuring a photo of him and Bourdain saying, so I guess the cat's out of the bag. My trip to Armenia last year, pictured next to me is one cool cat named Anthony Bourdain. Catch us on his show, Parts Unknown, on May 20th as we cruise around Armenia in a sweet black Volga.
Who's Bourdain dating? He's dating some very attractive actress that we know. Actress or model? Can you do a quick check on that?
Yeah, Nick's looking it up. Sorry.
Dude, I'm so tired.
I'm sorry. I'll get back to that huge bus explosion in California. I just did not get a lot of sleep.
Asia Argento?
That's
it. Oh, my God.
So she is the Harvey Weinstein victim.
Aja, yeah. Okay.
She's the daughter of Dario Argento, the Italian horror director.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And she was also in the first
Triple X
movie.
Yeah.
With Vin Diesel. It's about family.
Who was all about family.
It's about family. He does a new commercial for, I think, Chevy.
Yeah.
Driving is all about family.
I haven't seen it yet.
Cars are about family.
Yeah. All right. And that's, believe it or not, that's all I have in Music News for you.
Wow.
We stretched a minute and a half of stories into 15 minutes or something like that.
Thank you.
That's what we do. We have to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to make sure that you get that letter. We have a trip to Vegas that we're giving away on Friday for our Word of the Week prize. Don't want you to miss out on that. And we'll see what Pierre has got coming up as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
A busy day today, which we are getting ready to wrap up and move on to another phase of MMR's programming. But before we do all of that, some thank yous are in order, because we did have a really cool line of guests that came in today. We started off with three gold-winning Olympic athletes, and I didn't want to say anything about it on air because I didn't want to trivialize their athletic pursuits, but all really beautiful young ladies.
Yes.
That were here this morning that are Olympic athletes. Jesse Diggings, Hillary Knight, and Jamie Anderson. Jesse Diggings won the first women's gold medal ever in Olympic history for cross-country skiing.
And she explained, Kathy had brought up the fact that they look like they were always falling. At the end of their, at the end of it all, they are so depleted of energy, they collapse.
Yeah, they just absolutely fall down from exhaustion. Hillary Knight, who is with the women's hockey team, she's won three medals, two silvers and a gold. And
sturdy.
And yeah, totally. Yeah. She's her handshake, firm handshake.
Yeah.
She's a full-on athlete. And then Jamie Anderson, who is a world-renowned Olympic snowboarder and X Games winner, and she was in as well today. So they were in with Comcast. It was really cool to have them by. Also, thank you to World Be Free, who was here today.
Also attractive.
Yeah, also, what a handsome man.
He was wearing this summer dress that was just beautiful, this diaphanous sort of thing.
They kicked off their playoff brand campaign. Tonight is the Fan Appreciation Night. Sixers are closing out the regular season at home against the Bucks. But I was talking to Pancake with the new jerseys and logos that they have just debuted. He said, they're going for like hundreds of bucks because it's hard to get your hands on them.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very sought after. And, of course, people are anticipating great things in the playoffs for them. So, and thank you to Ike Barinholtz.
Yes.
Blockers, the movie he's promoting, is in theaters now. So it was cool to have him on. We have in our studio, wow, what an honor, paparazzi and all. Pierre Robier.
That's a good one.
That's your new malt liquor.
Well, we can use that at the beer fest.
When we have our beer fest, Pierre Robier.
Wow.
Got to do that.
You have stumbled upon a great one, my friend.
I did it all on purpose.
I loved when Ike, what's his last
Barinholtz.
Name? Barinholtz. I loved when he came on and the first thing he said is, I'm so sad about Dr. Genter retiring. God. Because he was listening on hold right before he came on because all of your interviews are done live, which is awesome. And so he was able to comment on the commercial that had just run and talk about Dr. Genter. It was brilliant.
He's great. We had him in the studio. We got to get him back in because you can go forever with him.
It was clearly, and yeah. He clearly loves you guys, as many do who have experienced your magic.
So. Thank you, man. So are we finally doing your life story? Is that what's going on here? There's a camera crew in with Pierre.
There's a camera crew following me around today. God help them. Because they just had me running into the manja for coffee and then running and then running and then.
Did they get you running?
Oh, well, I hope not.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Did you have time to do your hair?
Not really.
Okay. No.
We were doing a satellite interview with The Offspring in 311, which will run on Friday, I guess. And I had to be here at 10, and I walked, or I ran in disheveled at 1 minute to 10.
Yeah.
And they sent this, and I thought of you guys getting off the elevator. I go, I can't tell them this. I just can't tell them this.
And then here we are.
And then here you are, knowing the whole story. I ran in and ran down the hallway. I was up till 2 or 3 just writing some questions last night. Pancake had them printed out. I ran in, grabbed the headphones, and then the ISDN connection wasn't working right. So
it dropped.
So it didn't happen?
Well, no, it happened, but 5 minutes later. Oh, so okay. I had plenty of time.
You could have gone back home and took a nap.
Well, it occurred to me I could have gone back down and gotten another cup of coffee, but it didn't work out that way.
Do you still use the notepad when preparing for interviews?
What I do now is I dictate my questions into my phone, and I email them to myself here.
Okay,
and then I print them out, or Pancake prints them
you
out.
You use a voice to text?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I try to, but of course everything I say comes out wrong.
Yeah.
So would you schnurd the carble?
Yes, exactly. I mean,
now you sell yourself short, man. You've built a relationship with the guys from The Offspring because of your interviewing skills. So I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Well, it was fun. And The Offspring and 311 are touring together. And it's called the Never Ending Summer Tour. And they're both fun summer bands, you know, and everyone looks forward to those shows every year. So it'll be cool. But yeah, so this crew is from AOL. And they're doing a series on people who've had the same job for a long time.
Hmm.
And so as I am now in 36 years as of November.
At MMR.
At MMR. And MMR is in a couple of weeks turning 50. They found it for some reason desirable to follow me around.
Well, take the overall occupation of radio. How long have you been a broadcaster?
Just a few years more, actually.
Okay.
So, like 38.
Okay.
I did a couple of years in San Francisco, but I've only worked at two radio stations.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
KSAN in San Francisco. And I was an intern there. And
it's been four for me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you've been how many press?
No, five.
Five?
Yes,
wow.
I was WBAB. I was Q104. I was DRE, Y100, and WMMR.
Wow.
Six, seven, eight.
Wow.
I've worked at eight radio stations.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long were you at KSAN when it flipped, when it went country?
3 years.
You were there for 3 years after it flipped?
I started as an intern. They canceled the intern program, but I kept coming and volunteering my time.
Yeah, okay.
And eventually they hired me at $3.50 an hour to just do odd jobs, and I did everything from filing the records to getting coffee for the DJs to loaning the DJs money, which never ceases even to this day to amaze me, and running errands, and then I started to get to run the board, and then one night, the overnight DJ didn't show up, and I called just was listening across town, and I called the guy who was on the air named Lobster, and I swear to God, and he said,
yes,
come on.
Who is this?
And I said, so the overnight guy didn't show up, and he goes, yeah, what are you doing? I go, just hanging. He goes, get over here, you're going on the air.
Ha, ha, ha.
That was my first show.
Wow.
So it was a fate was on my side that night.
Yeah?
Yeah. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Here you are.
Anyway, they're following me around all day.
Cool, man. Excellent. Well, let's do the letter, take care of business here.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by the letter.
Z as in zoo, xylophone, zebra.
All right, and we're going to give away a trip or two to Las Vegas.
Two out of three in there.
Yes, one is with an X.
Oh, right. Sorry.
To experience Fear the Walking Dead survival, Vegas' new thrill attraction, including two nights hotel, airfare, ground transportation in Vegas, and two passes to Fear the Walking Dead.
Zevon.
I think you meant Xenon. Xavier Ron, Xylophone.
Yeah. Thrill attraction. Don't miss AMC's Survival Sunday, starting at 9 Central, only on AMC, with the historic season finale of The Walking Dead, followed by the premiere of an all-new Fear the Walking Dead, and it must be, you must be at least 18 years of age to enter. Anyhow, we will give that away on Friday. What's
cool
coming up on your program today, sir?
We will have, speaking of those two bands, tickets to give away for 311 Offspring, Gym Class Heroes, Festival Pier, August 10th, going on sale Friday. We got Birthday Bucks coming at 11 and 1. We have cool Workforce Bucks, Zeppelin and A7X, Avenged Sevenfold, and the bard of the barroom, the great and powerful, lonesome George Thorogood. To please you, Steve, I know you love him.
The lyrics alone, I mean, you don't even need the music. It's just poetry.
I mean, you could just go to a reading.
He's like Rudyard Kipling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many have said that. So Zeppelin, A7X.
Drunkard Kipling.
Yeah.
And Thorogood, and our vinyl cut, and our MM Archives feature at 1:30, which is going to be very cool this afternoon. So stay with us.
Nice. Let me thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts. The official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', Preston and Steve Show. We got to throw that in one more time. And also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow on our program, stuff to give away, things to do, people to talk to, like Louis Anderson.
We love Louis. He's the one who introduced us to the meat tooth, Preston.
That is correct. He's great, so we'll talk to him tomorrow. That is it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Ladies and gentlemen of the greater Philadelphia area, I wish to bid you all a fun you. I am crossing over state lines as we speak to get the out. You, Delta, and you, Pennsylvania.
Next message.
It's home day, and the Flyers play tonight, and 93.3 rocks, bitch.
Next message.
I hate Lincoln Drive!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.